Fans, if you're feeling lucky today, make sure you participate in our 50-50 raffle. We have kiosks. most advanced gear and the most loved engines. We came to play, we came to win.
Oh. Expertise, innovation, compassion, Good Shepherd. Settling in here from Allentown, Pennsylvania at Coca-Cola Park inside the Cyan Sky broadcast booth. Sam Jelinek with you alongside Connor Brown as we count down the final moments to the final game of the season. Hi, everybody. It's a beautiful Sunday afternoon. The Iron Pigs and Woo Sox playing the final game of their series, the final game of the 2024 season, as the Pigs look to end things on a high note, trying to bounce back from their second consecutive loss last night, a 4-3 defeat. But Connor, honestly, I think we got almost everything outside of an Iron Pigs win that we could have asked for last night, as far as it was a close, tense game, some great moments, and sometimes you just never know what the final weekend of the season is going to bring with two teams who have already been eliminated. But this entire week, even after the Woo Sox got eliminated, the Iron Pigs having already been washed over a week and a half ago, it's been good, clean, fun baseball.
No, it really has been, and especially, you know, last night I think was just another great game played between the two in this series. I mean, the series opener back on Tuesday was a little bit of a blowout. The final score was a little closer with the Iron Pigs scoring a couple runs in the bottom of the ninth. But like yesterday, with the one-run loss, a lot of close baseball games in this series against the Woo Sox to conclude the season. And you could tell on both sides that either of these teams won't be playing baseball after this, because they've been playing with high intensity, some emotions rolling over for some of the Woo Sox management yesterday with the manager and I believe the hitting coach being tossed yesterday in their win. But it's unfortunate that we have to end the series, end the season here today. But at least it's going up against this Woo Sox team that we've had a lot of fun watching the Iron Pigs go up against this week.
Iron Pigs come into the final day of the season, 67-78 on the season. It is tied for their lowest mark of the year as far as 11 games under 500. So they have that to play for to avoid ending the season at what would be their worst record of the year. They're 33-39 in the second half, while the Woo Sox, they're playing for their 80th win of the season. They're 79-70, 44-30 in the second half. Let's go ahead and get you the starting lineups here real quick before Alan Ron Hal takes the mound for the Iron Pigs. Starting lineups is always brought to you by PSECU. PSECU, where members achieve more. For the Woo Sox, Roman Anthony leads it off again. He's in center. Chase Mydroth, the DH, bats second. Hitting third, Alex Benellis. He's the first baseman. Batting fourth, Bobby Dalbec, the shortstop. Then Phillip Sykes in right. Tyler McDonough's the second baseman, batting sixth. Max Ferguson, the third baseman, hits seventh. Mark Colosavari, the catcher, hits eighth, his first appearance this week. And Corey Rozier rounds it out, playing left. starting nine for the Woo Sox. Flip side of the card for the Iron Pigs. It'll be Austin Hayes on his rehab assignment. Leading things off, he's in left. Carson Taylor, the DH, bat second. Buddy Kennedy, the second baseman, batting third. Hitting fourth, Derek Hall, the first baseman. Then Rafael Marchand doing the catching. Hitting fifth, Brian McKenna in center, hits sixth. Batting seventh, Ethan Wilson in right. Otto Kemp, the third baseman, bats eighth. And then Jim Haley rounds things out, playing shortstop with Alan Rahel on the mound for the Iron Pigs. Pitching for the Woo Sox, by the way, it will be Jason Alexander reprising his role from starting back on Tuesday. So your starting pitching matchup, Rahel v. Alexander. Alan 1-2 with a 4.81 ERA. Alexander 7-6 with a 4.59 ERA this season. I don't know about you, Connor, but it's a beautiful day for baseball. Season, it's had its ups and downs for the Iron Pigs, but the fact that we get a little bit of closure here on a gorgeous day just feels like a great way to kind of ride off into the sunset.
No, it really does, because if you also think about how this season started here at Coca-Cola Park against the Woo Sox with a crazy, what should have been walk-off grand slam. Everyone knows the story. It was obviously turned to a three-run homer after Aramis Garcia
ended up passing Matt Kroon.
Thank you. I was looking for the word, passing Matt Kroon on that one. But, yeah, I mean, it's, I think, the perfect ending to the season with how they, you know, started against the Woo Sox, finishing up here against the Woo Sox, and a beautiful day to do it.
Iron Pigs have just taken the field as Alan Rahel walks on out to the mound, which means it's time for the National Anthem, brought to you by Allied Personnel Services. Ready to step up to the plate with your job search? A home run with the best jobs, best companies, and best pay in the Valley when you team up with Allied Personnel Services, the Lehigh Valley's hiring experts for 40 years. Visit AlliedPS.com today to see all of the great jobs available. We'll go ahead, step aside for the National Anthem, and when we return, it'll be time for first pitch. It's the final game of the season, Iron Pigs and Woo Sox. It's coming up next here on the Iron Pigs Radio Network, presented by Ashley, the largest furniture store brand in North America. For one final time this season, it's time for Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs baseball. Hi, everybody. Alongside Connor Brown, I'm Sam Jelinek up here in the Science Guy broadcast booth, where the Iron Pigs and Woo Sox wrap up this 2024 season. For the Iron Pigs, it's game number 146. The Woo Sox actually going to play a full 150, the most games they've ever played in their franchise's history. So, Connor, what are you looking forward to today?
Huh, Sam. I'm just looking forward to another just great day of Iron Pigs baseball. I mean, really just do what they've been doing all series long against the Woo Sox. I know they've lost two in a row now, and they have foregone their, you know, chance to win this series against the Woo Sox. But if you just take it as is, as the last regular season series of the season, the Iron Pigs have played really well. And it would also be really nice to see them spoil another wish for the Woo Sox, as they spoiled their postseason hopes earlier on this season. Hopefully they can spoil the franchise's first 80-win season in their four-year existence. They've had winning seasons. Haven't gotten to the 80-win mark, though, so that's another thing the Iron Pigs can spoil here today, and that's probably what I'm most looking forward to.
set the defense for you behind Allenron Hell making the start for the Iron Pigs. It'll be Austin Hayes on his rehab. He'll play left field today. It's expected that Hayes just kind of plays for as long as he feels like. I personally am guessing he's probably going to play the full nine as the Phillies expect to activate him on Tuesday. Ryan McKenna, his former teammate with the Orioles, is in center. Ethan Wilson is in right. Otto Kemp plays third base. Jim Haley, the shortstop. Buddy Kennedy at second. Derek Hall at first. And Rafael Marchand does the catching. Ron Hell, 1-2 with a 4.81 ERA this season. Starting for the first time and pitching for the first time since September 11th at Scranton when he was excellent. Five innings, one run on two hits, three strikeouts. Faces Roman Anthony to lead it off. Anthony has led off every game this week, and he has reached base every single game to lead things off. See if Ron Hell can buck that trend. Pitchcom unit malfunction to begin this one is just got to wait a moment longer to get the final game of the season underway here. Anthony with his OPS now at an even 1,000. Playing his 35th game at the AAA level. Just 20 years old, top prospect in the minors. Bats from the left side. Ron Hell starts from the stretch with nobody on base. Steps into a very short windup, and the first pitch of the game is a fastball on the outside corner. We're underway just a minute late at 106. First pitch temperature, 73 degrees under crystal blue skies. Big puffy clouds out in the horizon. Just a picturesque day for baseball. The 0-1, Anthony a pop-up. Foul ground, third base side. Otto Kemp giving chase by the sidewall. He runs out of room. 0-1, or 0-2, beg your pardon. Anthony has just been, I hate saying a revelation, because he was somebody that, you know, was drafted with the idea that he was going to be really good. Second round pick 2 years ago out of Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School down in Parkland, Florida, which is actually the same school that has produced fellow major leaguers in Kobe Mayo and Jesus Luzardo. 0-2 on Anthony. Ron Hell deals, and Anthony fouls it away. Count remaining 0-2.
Isn't Anthony Rizzo also
yes,
from that area?
Yes, same high school as well. I'm glad you brought that up, because having been a part of the Orioles system before, I had talked with Kobe Mayo about the fact that he trained in the offseason with Rizzo. 0-2, misses for a ball, 1-2.
Not a bad guy to learn from.
So I'm imagining that Roman Anthony, they're probably starting to invite him to the cool kids table. 1-2 on Anthony, the pitch. Swing and a miss, and for the first time this week, Roman Anthony does not reach base to begin the ball game. Down on strikes.
You know, it's funny. We were talking about, you know, Mike Trout and Buddy Kennedy's relationship. We were just talking about, you know, Anthony Rizzo and Kobe Mayo. I'm curious when it is that you're from an area with other pro ball players that they finally kind of look at you the same way. You know what I mean? Because I feel as though it's not given.
First pitch, Chase Meidroth misses high, ball one. Talking to players who have been in that situation before, a lot of it just depends on connections, at least initially. You know, if you're training with somebody who maybe has a tie to that player, 1-0 pitch is up high, ball two. Other times can just kind of be word of mouth. But in Buddy's case, it was he was training with the same guy that Trout trained with, and guy saw in Buddy what he saw in Trout at one point, 2-0. Meidroth takes a strike, 2-1, and felt that he should connect the two. Other times, though, you know, the really good players, especially the really good mentors, will see it as kind of their rite of passage. That, you know, they should lend a hand to one foul back. 2-2 on Chase Meidroth, starting for the first time since Friday night, or Thursday night, rather. Hitting 291, 7 homers, 57 RBIs, trying to take the IL OBP title. That's at 437 right now. 2-2. And Meidroth off the hands, a fly ball to shallow center. In comes McKenna. He's under it. Puts it away. Two up, two down for Allenron Hell. That's probably such a big developmental moment for so many young ball players when they finally do get that invite from an established guy, either a major leaguer or just maybe somebody from your high school who got drafted or is playing D1. You feel like, I can be here, I can achieve like they did.
Well, it probably feels like he has cheat codes.
Yeah.
You know, you're walking into this game, you want to know all the answers. Nowhere better can you get answers than some pro players.
First pitch to Alex Benelis. He drives it in the air, left center field. McKenna on the run. He tracks it down. Really nice play by Ryan McKenna as he robs extra bases from Alex Benelis, and it's an easy breezy 1-2-3 first inning for Allenron Hell. We go the last of the first, Woo Sox nothing. Iron Pigs coming to bat here on the Pigs Radio Network, presented by Ashley, the largest first store brand in North America.
go.
Home half of the first, it's the Woo Sox nothing, and the Iron Pigs coming to bat against Jason Alexander on the bump for Worcester. Alexander making his second start of the week. This is how the defense takes shape behind him. It's Corey Roser in left, Roman Anthony's in center, Phillip Sykes in right, Max Ferguson plays third, Bobby Dahlbeck's the shortstop, Tyler McDonough at second, Alex Benellis at first, and Marco Lozavari is catching. Austin Hayes leads it off for the Iron Pigs, second game of his Good Shepherd Rehab appearance, the exclusive sponsor of Major League Rehab appearances at Coca-Cola Park. Good Shepherd, nationally recognized experts in physical rehab, Good Shepherd gets you or your loved one back in the game, back to work, and back to everyday life. As Hayes takes the first pitch for a ball, 1-0, following injury, illness, or surgery. For more, visit homerunrehab.org. Expertise, innovation, compassion, Good Shepherd. 1-0 pitch. Hayes with a chopper out towards third. Weakly hit, waiting back for the high hop. Ferguson gloves, throws across to get Hayes. One away, Austin with a multi-hit game last night. Starts out today with a ground out. Brings up Carson Taylor, the DH. Alexander getting the start for the Woo Sox again. He picked up the win on Tuesday. He was cruising through five innings. He had allowed just one run and then got tagged for four in the sixth as the Pigs tried to rally, ended up being a bit in vain. They give up five runs and 5 2/3 on eight hits. First pitch to Taylor, down and in. Ball one.
Yeah, that was a tough one for the Pigs because you had that comeback starting against Alexander with four runs there in that inning. But then the Woo Sox would respond back with at least four runs, I believe it was.
It was five.
It was five.
Five in the top of the seventh.
Five in the top of the seventh. So right as soon as you get some runs, they answer right back.
2-0 pitch, Taylor fouls it off, 2-1. Taylor was at the center of a wee bit of controversy in the ninth inning of last night that led to Chad Treacy's ejection. Taylor was purportedly hit by a pitch on his back foot. Home plate umpire at the time, Tom Fornarola, didn't make the call himself as Taylor with a hot shot grounder to second on the backhand. McDonough, nice pickup, sets his feet. There's the first, Taylor retired, two gone.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, watching last night's game, the Woo Sox were not the biggest fans of Fornarella behind the plate. There was definitely some frustration that built up, and you saw Treacy just let it out on that ninth inning ejection.
Chad Treacy and his hitting coach, Doug Clark, both getting ejected. First pitch to Buddy Kennedy, down and away, ball one. No score, bottom of the first. Woo Sox went down 1-2-3. Iron Pigs trying to avoid the same fate against Alexander here. First base side of the rubber, the righty winds and fires. Misses down the dirt. Ball two.
And, I mean, the first ejection last night, it seemed like he had insulted his mother or something. Because, I mean, I don't even say that to be trying to be too funny. Like, it was like that. It was on.
Pitch home. Kennedy, a chopper foul. 2-1. Yeah, no, I talked with Treacy before today's game about it. He said, you know, sometimes you just harp on balls and strikes, and some guys give you a little bit of a longer leash on that. Last night really wasn't the case. And then the ejection in the ninth inning was ultimately more process over the actual call. 2-1 down the middle, 2-2, where the Woo Sox were just frustrated. It ultimately was the base umpires who made the decision on the hit-by-pitch when the Woo Sox contested that there was no way they could have seen the hit-by-pitch. 2-2. Kennedy off the end of the bat, a slow roller back to the mound. Alexander deflects it. McDonough bare hands it and drops it. Infield single for Buddy Kennedy. Lugging that one out. Alexander looked like he had a pretty easy play on the roller back to him. Just kind of whiffed on it, but knocked it down enough that McDonough at second charging in trying to bare hand. Couldn't make that play. Brings up Derek Hall. Derek pinch hit in the ninth inning of last night. Came through the base hit. What could potentially be D. Hall's final game as an Iron Pig? Long storied career, franchise record holder in homers and RBIs. Takes a sinker on the outside corner, 0-1.
Yeah, he had a homer back on Thursday night. hopefully that's not his only homer here of the series. Hopefully he can send another one out deep here in the series finale.
0-1 and Hall with a drive down the left field line that slices back into the seats. 0-2. No score, bottom of the first, Hall with 15 homers in the year, 68 RBIs. The pitch, way high, 1-2. The 68 RBIs, and now Kennedy a delayed steal to second, and he's thrown out by a mile. And Kennedy looking to the umpire, Tom Fornarola, about something there, that maybe he got in under the tag, but the inning's over. So Kennedy tagged out. He says he didn't get tagged. And that's the inning. We go to the second, no score after one. Here at the Iron Pigs Radio Network, presented by Ashley, the largest furniture store brand in North America.
I think it was out. I didn't see the replay.
Top of the second, no score after one. This is Connor Brown. I'm Sam Jelinek here from the Zion Sky broadcast booth. Final game of the season. Alan Ronhell back to work after a 1-2-3 first as Bobby Dalbec due up here. 4, 5, and 6. Dalbec playing shortstop for the sixth consecutive game this week. Hitting 246, 20 homers, 68 RBIs. Ronhell delivers and the big breaking ball down and away. Ball one.
Now, Kingery is not 6'4", 225, but him and Dalbec, I feel like, have a lot of similarities. Yeah. When you kind of look at them career-wise, what they're doing this year.
1-0 pitch, Dalbec lifts it in the air down the right field line. That's going to find the crowd, even though Kennedy giving it a look, 1-1.
20 homers from the both of them. I mean, Kingery with a little bit more speed as well. Dalbec only 10 steals on the season, but both 29 years old. Both two guys who I wouldn't be surprised to see on Major League rosters next year. Especially Scott King, though.
Yeah, especially, it's funny, I was talking with Blue Sox broadcaster Jim Kane about this earlier this week. Dalbec gets under this one, a drive out towards right center. Right fielder Wilson in a couple of steps, now backtracks, puts it away, one gone. He actually was mentioning how similar the career arcs for both Dalbec and Kingery and Derek Hall are. And he asked me, which one do you think is actually more similar? And I think Kingery fits that mold, because unfortunately for both Scott and Bobby, they became pretty, unfortunately, derisive flashpoints for both franchises, where for Kingery was the contract, first pitch curveball to Phillip Sykes in for a strike 0-1. For Dalbec, it was the fact that he went up in 2021, was the starting first baseman for a playoff team, and then just has never recaptured that magic again. Got DFA'd this summer. 0-1, Sykes pop-up out of play, 0-2. And you just go on social media and the intense volatility that gets thrown around with their names is, you know, it'll make your head spin good bit. 0-2 on Phillip Sykes. Ronhell offers, and Sykes swings and misses. Fastball right by him. Down on strikes. 5 up, 5 down for Alan Ronhell. Ronhell actually retired the first 8 that he faced against Scranton back on the 11th. Then gave up a solo homer. Only run he allowed. I think it, for me at least, gauging what somebody's reaction and response is to Scott Kingery's career is a really good litmus test for me of who they are as a Phillies fan. Pitches up high to Tyler McDonough. Whether or not, for me, they get it or if they're more surface levels.
Yeah. I think a lot of Philly fans this year, though, were kind of hoping to see Kingery get the call up. And
pitch to McDonough, fouled away, 1-1.
It was certainly surprising not to see him. He was absolutely deserving. I mean, everyone else was deserving as well. It wasn't like it was completely unfair for Kingery. But you also have to wonder, too, if just getting a year of at-bats here at AAA, succeeding at the level he has, it might do him really well over the next few seasons.
1-1, Rangel pulls the string on a changeup, gets a swing and a miss, 1-2. I think that that's what Scott has alluded to so much this season, is that, yes, the numbers and everything that he's done on the field has been great, but it's just the fact that he's on the field for as much as he has been. 1-2, McDonough pops up a changeup, shallow left, shortstop Haley going out, left fielder Hayes coming in, and Hayes takes command, makes the call on the catch, and the inning over. 6-up, 6-down for Alan Rangel. And we go to the last of the second, still scoreless here on the Pigs Radio Network, presented by Ashley, the largest furniture store brand in North America. Home half of the second, Woo Sox and Iron Pig scoreless after an inning and a half of play. Jason Alexander back to work. He faced the minimum in the first, got a caught stealing a Buddy Kennedy to end that frame. So Derek Hall, who had two strikes on him, steps up to the plate again here in the second. Fresh count, 4, 5, and 6, due up. First pitch from Alexander to Hall. At the knees, outside corner, 0-1. Infield plays Derek to pull Iron Pigs. Here on Sunday, wearing their Phillies throwbacks, Woo Sox and the Road Grays. First time, I think, all week. 0-1 fouled away. Quickly two strikes.
It's funny, you were alluding to potentially this being Derek Hall's last home game here as an Iron Pig. And I went to Music Fest for the first time this year, and I was just, you know, talking to people around and telling them what I do.
0-2, Hall a line drive down the right field line. That's in for a hit. It's going to go all the way to the wall. Sykes takes it out of the corner. Hall on his way to second. The throw, it's late. Hauled in with a feet first slide. He's got a leadoff double. First base runner in scoring position today for the Iron Pigs.
Love that for Hall. And kind of where I was going with that story was when I would tell people who I was just like, you know, meeting for the first time, what I do, I work with the Iron Pigs, yada, yada, yada. Every time they would bring up Derek Hall. So you could just tell that people around the Valley really appreciate what Hall has done here as an Iron Pig. And if this is his last game at Coca-Cola Park, he's certainly going to be missed by the Lehigh Valley faithful.
First pitch, Rafael Marchand's in for a strike, 0-1. Yeah, that's something I've put a good deal of thought into, is trying to contextualize what Derek Hall and Scott Kingery have meant to this franchise. Pitches down and into Marchand, 1-1. They really embody the Iron Pigs for this stretch of Phillies baseball from just about 2021 on. Yes, Scott was here briefly in 2017, then rehabs a couple of times after that. 1-1, swing and a miss, 1-2. But basically from 2021 on, it's been D. Hall and Scott Kingery as the faces of the Iron Pigs. And, you know, no matter where they are next year, if it's back here or not, they're, with good reason, at the top of a lot of records for the Iron Pigs. But more than that, just spiritually, Iron Pigs are them. 1-2, up and away, 2-2.
And it also makes sense, too, with Hall and Kingery being the faces here of Lehigh Valley that they haven't had a losing season since 2021. I mean, they're going to have it this year, but still, like it they're going to mean a lot more to the fans, even if they're not here next year.
One hop rocket over to first. Benellis down to a knee, able to stab it. Will go to the bag. Retire Marshawn Hall over to third, though, with one out. Still scoreless bomb with the second man. Third one away for Ryan McKenna. Well, certainly feel like the Iron Pigs are losing more than just a couple of players, more so representatives of the community. To Scott and Derek's credit, every AAA player, they're somewhere else that they'd rather be. And the fact that they have taken it as much in stride being here the past 3 years and have done what they've done. First pitch to McKenna on the outside corner, 0-1, and done it all with, at times, even when they didn't want to, a smile on their face, a willingness to sign autographs for fans, take pictures with fans as two of the most popular guys. And on my end, 0-1, McKenna fouls it back, 0-2. They're always the guys the media wants to talk to, and they're always willing to oblige for an interview and say the right things and do the right things. And they never balked at it.
No.
0-2 quickly on McKenna. Alexander, the full wind in the pitch. Breaking the ball inside. He checked his swing. Appeal to first. Say held up. 1-2. Infield plays in for the Woo Sox. Hall third. Not obviously the fastest guy out there, so Woo Sox trying to cut down the run. 1-2. McKenna fouls it off his foot. Still 1-2.
Yeah, that's the thing about the season concluding today, too, is you're starting to think about next year's team. Will it be like this year's team where there's a lot of veterans on the roster? Will next year will be a surplus of youth?
1-2, swing and a miss. Chased outside. Alexander's first strikeout. Two outs here in the second. Yeah, looking to next year's roster, Reading does have a glut of position player. Sometimes top prospects when you're thinking Aiden Miller and Justin Crawford. Sometimes more guys like Otto Kemp and Carson Taylor. The Iron Pigs just haven't had the past couple of years. It's been mostly fringe 40-man guys. First pitch to Ethan Wilson's popped up. Right down the third base line. Max Ferguson next to the bag under it. Makes the catch. Retires Wilson and the inning over. Pigs, Strand Hall over at third after his leadoff double. We go to the third inning. Still scoreless here on the Iron Pigs Radio Network. Presented by Ashley, the largest furniture store brand in North America. Top of the third inning, scoreless ball game. Woo Sox and Iron Pigs. Alan Ronhell, six up, six down to begin the start for a second consecutive outing. Has Max Ferguson due up here, left-handed hitter. And Ronhell steps off, time is called. Somebody left the bullpen gate open. Wouldn't be an Iron Pigs game without it.
I was about to say, if they need someone to
man the gate,
I will be handing my resume for that position next season.
First pitch, one hopper out to second. Kennedy backs up and it gloves in the backhand, spins around and throws to first. Gets Ferguson, seven in a row, retired by Ronhell. Brings up Marco Lozavari. And although Ronhell, very judicious in the amount of pitches he's thrown. He's only thrown 22 to this point. Unfortunately, useless as far as today's the last day of the season. Being efficient won't really get you anywhere. Not saving bullets for anything else.
No, but I mean, he's been really efficient his last two starts. Like you mentioned in his last start against Scranton Wilkes-Barre, where he retired, what was it, the first eight batters that he faced before allowing a solo homer. So this has been par for the course over his last two starts.
First pitch to Marco Lozavarri is down low. Ball one. Lozavarri was activated off the DEV list when Mickey Gasper went up the other day for the Woo Sox. Playing his 27th game of the season for Worcester, hits the 1-0 on the ground at third. A step to his left, Otto Kemp vacuums it up, throws over to first. Lozavarri retired. Eight in a row retired by Alan Rahel again, and we'll see if history repeats itself as Corey Rozier comes up. Rozier has had a weird season in that overall he's been a pretty subpar player, hitting 180, two homers, 16 RBIs. You want to know what he's hitting against the Iron Pigs?
What is it?
342.
Wow. I mean, the Woo Sox have kind of owned the Iron Pigs this year, and that kind of tells you all you need to know.
First pitch right to Rozier is called a strike on one, and it's not a small sample size either. It's 12 games. He's got a 9-game on-base streak, a 954 OPS. He had two triples last night.
His season OPS is 539.
0-1. Curveball just floats down away. 1-1. Some guys just end up owning teams, and Corey Rozier owns the Iron Pigs. Left-handed hitter, 2 outs, bases empty. Ron Hell's pitch. Rozier fouls it back. 1-2. Rozier taking his time, steps out, a couple of practice swings. Really awesome crowd here on Sunday, last game of the season, can't hold anything back. And crowd has showed out and showed up. The pitch, Rozier drive to deep right, back on it, Wilson a couple of steps in front of the track. He makes the catch, final out of the inning. Any ball off the bat of Corey Rozier is going to put fear into my heart, but it stays in the yard, and the inning over. Alan Rahel, 9 up, 9 down. And we go to the last of the third, still scoreless here on the Pigs Radio Network, presented by Ashley, the largest furniture store brand in North America. Bottom of the third, no score between the Woo Sox and the Iron Pigs. Pigs have had a couple of cracks at it. Buddy Kennedy was caught stealing, though. Derek Hall stranded at third to begin the day. Otto Kemp, Jim Hale in the top of the order. Austin Hayes, 2-1. Against Jason Alexander, 1 strikeout. He's allowed 2 hits. Righty into his wind, the pitch. Slider down and away. Pops out of the middle of Lozavarri. Ball 1. Otto hitting 167 with the Pigs, no homers, 2 RBI. Somebody that I fully expect to probably be the Iron Pigs opening day roster next year. 1-0 on the inside corner, 1-1. Like we were talking about at the end of the last half inning, the number of quality position players down at AA Reading is a pretty good stockpile there. Kemp takes inside 2-1. Some of them are here right now. Otto Kemp, Marcus Lee Sang, Ethan Wilson, Carson Taylor. We got some more on the way potentially as far as Justin Crawford. Aiden Miller, I don't think, will start with the Iron Pigs. Pitches outside to Kemp, 3-1. Probably start with Double-A Reading, make his way to Triple-A more than halfway through the year. So it'll be interesting how the Phillies construct this roster next year. 3-1, swing and a miss. Full count, because in recent years, they've been really able to, like you said, get a lot of quality Triple-A, Quad-A veteran talent, when now it's going to skew a little bit younger.
Yeah, and I'm not surprised, too, because doing the road to the show all season long for the pregame and postgame, these are guys that I've been talking about all year for Reading, and just because they've been producing. So,
Kemp, an inside-out swing, lines it into right. That's down for a hit. He'll stop at first base as Sykes gets it back in. Second straight inning, the Pigs gotten the leadoff man aboard.
So it's certainly not surprising to see Otto Kemp, Carson Taylor, Marcus Lee Sang, and all the people who really succeeded this year at Reading up here with the Iron Pigs to finish the season. And I'm really looking forward to seeing how their short time here with Lehigh Valley will bode for them next year and kind of, you know, planning out where they're going to be playing. I know obviously spring training dictates that a lot as well. But it's cool to see guys that, you know, I've seen on the MILB page all season long for the Fighting Phillies.
They're real people.
They're real people, and they're here at Coca-Cola Park, and they're making impacts too. You know, Ethan Wilson with a huge impact earlier this week. Otto Kemp with some big moments.
0-1, Jim Haley grounds it back of the bag at third. The throw to second from Ferguson just keeps McDonough on the bag. Doesn't make a throw to first, though, as he had to barely keep a toe on stretching for it. Kemp called out. Fielder's choice. Haley replaces him over at first. Back at the top of the order, and Austin Hayes, not the only rehabber today for the Iron Pigs, as it's expected Spencer Turnbull will throw a couple of innings in relief. That'll come later, though. Hayes grounded to third his first time. Fully black bat, no batting gloves. Phillies red helmet. Pitch to Hayes, swung on and missed. Haley takes off for second, and the throw, it's late. Jim picks up the stolen base.
Funny, you were talking about MLB the Show yesterday, the video game, and how Nick Nelson, you know, as a knuckleballer,
yeah,
could be an impossible, you know, pitcher to have next year. Austin Hayes, me and my roommates used to play like Dynasty modes and stuff, and Hayes, whenever he'd be in the World Series,
0-1, swing and miss,
would be an absolute animal. I don't know what it was every time, though, coming up with big hits in the World Series and MLB the Show. So,
foreshadowing?
I'm about to say, like, I want to see if that actually translates into real life so I can look back at MLB the Show and say I knew more ball than some of the people running big league teams. I don't actually think. A little bit.
0-2 on Hayes, the pitch. Way outside from Alexander, 1-2. It's funny because the way I think about it and the way I see baseball played now, there is a certain video game element to it where you are optimizing for strategy. I think about it in the min-maxing, the way that you attack people. 1-2, Hayes swings and misses. Can't connect on the breaking ball. Second strikeout for Alexander. Hayes 0-2. And that when you play a video game, as far as a hitter or a pitcher, you're always playing to your strengths.
Exactly.
And for a long time in baseball, they just didn't think that way.
Yeah.
When in a video game, well, you do that because you can break the code, and although there's no quote-unquote code that dictates how baseball flows, there is a little bit of logic to it. First pitch to Carson Taylor, down and in, ball one.
Well, that's the whole misconception about analytics, is people think it's like the code to everything. It's like, no, it's fact-based knowledge that gives you like an advantage in certain situations, and it's smart that it's actually it wasn't smart that it wasn't a part of the game before, you know, Moneyball and stuff. I know they kind of romanticized the whole thing with Moneyball and how they used to scout players, but at the same time, I really think that they just used to go off of vibes and kind of how they felt about the guys. Like, analytics and data actually gives you a, you know, better representation of who someone is and then also how they can succeed more.
Pitch is down low to Taylor. He's ahead in the count now, 3-0.
You know, it's all strategy. Like, you want to have the upper hand in any contest.
Yeah.
You know, any sporting contest, gaming contest. You want to have that upper hand. So if you're just not going to use that, I got to question your cause.
Yeah.
You know?
it's the same idea as why wouldn't you want all the information possible to make the best decision possible? Otherwise, you're just cutting off your hand for no reason.
Exactly.
3-1 on Taylor. Haley still out at second. 2 outs. No score. Bottom 3 of the pitch. It's outside to Taylor. Ball 4, and he walks. First walk issued by Taylor, and it puts 2 on with 2 out for Buddy Kennedy.
And there's room for both in baseball. There's room for vibes, and there's room for analytics. Like, we started off this inning by talking about Austin Hayes not using batting gloves. Like, that is one of those things that you look at just as a baseball fan, and you're like, I like that guy strictly just because of that. You know, so there's room for both. I just think people have to be more accepting of some of the new age analytics and some of the new way that we're looking at baseball.
Here's Buddy Kennedy, singled an infield single his first time up. Takes a breaking ball, called a strike, inside corner. 0-1 pitch, trying to get on the board first. Woo Sox have scored first 4 out of 5 games this week. They've taken 3 of 5, they're trying to earn a split to end the season. Don't want to go into the offseason on a losing streak. Pitches inside to Kennedy, 1-1. Two on, two out. Wind coming in from center. Buddy was on base 4 times last night. 2 RBIs. Pitch. Alexander just misses the outside corner. 2-1. Two and one on Buddy. Alexander, crossfire set, kicks the leg and deals, and Kennedy a soft liner to short. Dahlbeck a step to his right, down into a crouch. Makes the catch, Kennedy retired, and the inning over. Pigs threaten but leave 2 more aboard, and we go to the 4th. Iron Pigs and Woo Sox still scoreless here on the Pigs Radio Network, presented by Ashley, the largest furniture store brand in North America. Go to the top of the 4th inning. Woo Sox and Iron Pigs still scoreless. Time for the RAV 4th inning, brought to you by Toyota. Visit Toyota.com to find your new 2024 RAV4 today. Toyota, let's go Iron Pigs. I'm very pleased to welcome into the booth again from St. Luke's. It's John Howth. John, St. Luke's, you guys, such a big part of what we do here with the Iron Pigs, and I have to thank you personally because I love them. The bobblehead we're giving away today. Vote Hambone. He has won the election. He is our pork race president. I got to say, it came out really nice.
Yeah, it's a great one. And just reminding everyone to, you know, make sure they're registered and get out there and vote, right?
Absolutely. Still got more than enough time to get that out of the way. And, well, we'll see whether or not we get one stray right in vote for Hambone in there.
Exactly.
not sure how I feel that we might have an impact on that, but you never know. So anyways, there's so much more to what you guys do at St. Luke's as far as we talked about earlier this year when we had pickleball night, but the Sportsplex you guys opened up, all the pickleball courts that you guys now have, it's phenomenal.
Yeah, and so it's so much more than the pickleball, but of course that's a cornerstone activity there. We just hosted the big UPA Pennsylvania State Championships, had nearly 300 participants, so had a great event. They're looking forward to coming back. We've got another big, the Lehigh Valley Classic, November 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. So all those pickleball players out there, think about, you know, coming out the beginning of November and seeing, you know, testing your mettle.
Yeah, and at this rate, with the way the weather is holding up, man, still be playing outside right now. As Anthony grounds it foul. Ron Hell still ahead on him, 1-2. Allen has retired 9 in a row here to begin his outing. We got beautiful weather here today, a perfect way to wrap up the season. What else you guys got coming up here with St. Luke's as far as the ensuing couple of months?
Well, sure. I mean, we're getting ready. You know, the days are getting a little shorter, yep. And they're getting a little bit cooler. We're enjoying nice weather today, but we've got so many great things going over at the Sportsplex. So our basketball program, indoor soccer, you know, the lacrosse teams are practicing. So it's really shaping up as a major Sportsplex.
Anthony with a drive towards deep right center. Back on it, McKenna is able to make the catch. Pressed up against the fence. And Roman Anthony, for one of the few times this week, denied as he flies out to the wall in center for the first out here in the fourth. So for anybody who is interested in making use, perhaps, of the Sportsplex, either on an individual or team-based basis, how can they kind of get in touch and maybe set something up?
Yeah, so mypickleballlv.com. Go there. Everything pretty much runs through a you know, an app. It's called Court Reserve. But you know, if they stop in, we've got people there, can give them a nice tour. We're getting ready to roll out our new membership structure for the 24-25 season. A lot of new benefits that we're packing into that. Deb Schlosser and our crew over at the Sportsplex doing a great job there. But it's a great balance between the you know, the pickleball side and all the different sports. We've got everyone from the little ones, 3 to 5 year olds, in a play fit program up to the you know, octogenarians. We got 80 plus year olds playing pickleball, so it's very exciting.
That's fantastic. One out, nobody on. Iron Peaks Woostock scoreless here on the top of the fourth. Ron Hell deals to Mydroff, and he lines it in the center for a base hit. First base runner, first hit of the day for the Woostocks. Breaks up Ron Hell's bid of 10 in a row retired. So one out and a man aboard. So you had mentioned it, the number of sports you guys even host at Sportsplex total. Can you name them all off the top of your head?
Well, it pretty much runs the gamut. So, you know, we've had wrestling there. We've had major wrestling tournaments. We have wrestling. We had wrestling camp there this summer. Basketball. Of course, Tyrese Martin, one of our major community ambassadors, ran a clinic and camp there this summer. We've got, you know, we've got a number of different volleyball programs that are working out of the site, soccer programs, field hockey programs. We'll have our baseball cages and softball cages in place. So, you know, you name it, we pretty much can do it. We're doing football training over there. We got indoor turf. We got some outdoor areas that we're training in. And that all connects to, you know, what we're trying to do for the underserved communities. We're providing opportunities for them to come and train. And, you know, we're just looking for a great year.
Runner at first is Ron Hell deals home, and Benellis takes a strike. Now down the count, 1-2. Scoreless ball game, top of the fourth. One out, a man at first. Alex Benellis, the batter, flied to center, his first time up. And you had mentioned right before we got on air, you guys have a really awesome event coming up with Saquon Barkley.
We do. It's actually it's an event for Saquon's foundation, the Michael Ann and Saquon Barkley Hope Foundation. And, of course, Saquon's one of our, you know, community ambassador folks, and doing great things in the community, helping with a mentorship program over at Whitehall High School. Did an unbelievable job with N'Kobe Dean at his camp this summer out at Whitehall. But we're going to be hosting over at Saucon Valley Country Club. There's going to be an event, an opportunity for a meet and greet for individuals who would like to come meet Saquon, have an opportunity to get pictures, autograph, sign. You know, just an opportunity to learn more about that foundation and, you know, how he's utilizing that as a vehicle to do more in the community.
Marshawn able to catch Chase Mydroth stealing as he's thrown out by a pretty good margin there as Benellis called out on strikes to end the inning. And the Iron Pigs able to get out of this frame unscathed. Well, John, it was great visiting you with you again here for the top of the fourth. And we thank you for all that St. Luke's does here for us with the Iron Pigs.
Well, thank you, and thank the Iron Pigs. Great partner.
We go to the last of the fourth, still scoreless here on the Pigs Radio Network, presented by Ashley, the largest furniture store brand in North America. Home half of the fourth inning, the RAV4 drives along, brought to you by Toyota. Visit Toyota.com to find your new 2024 RAV4 today. Toyota, let's go Iron Pigs. Welcoming Connor Brown back into the booth. Connor, you have a good half inning away from the mic. Didn't do anything too dangerous, did you?
No, just, you know, keeping tabs on the game here. That's a heck of a strike him out, throw him out, too, to get out of the top of the fourth inning as Alan Rangel has been spectacular through four innings now. I mean, he gives up his first base runner, Mydroff, with a base knock. But they erased that with the strike him out, throw him out. Large part to Rafael Marchand.
Pitch to Hall's fouled back. He's down the count, 0-2. Derek leading it off in the fourth. Jason Alexander still out there for the Woo Sox. Nobody up in the Pigs bullpen yet. So it looks like Ron Hell's going to try to go five innings again. Hall doubled down the right field line his first time up. 0-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. Challenged him with fastball. Got it by him. Three strikeouts for Alexander. One away here in the fourth. Still scoreless. Brings up Rafael Marchand. Marchand, switch hitter, batting left. Grounded first, first time up the pitch, and Marchand, a grounder foul, first base side, 0-1. There's always something about the Lehigh Valley Health Network taking the mic, isn't there?
It's the cutest thing in the world. I mean, how could you not love it? That's exactly the type of thing you want to see, too, at a ballpark, is getting the young fans involved, because those are really the ones
memories,
who are going to be molded by their experiences here. Like, we're all old and jaded up here in the booth. We already have our worldviews.
Curmudgeonly.
Yeah, set.
0-1, Marchand takes outside. 1-1. I still remember, for me personally, growing up, my coach pitch team was one of the teams for a Trenton Thunder game, the run out on the field for the national anthem. Pitch to Marchand, lifted in the air, down the left field side, slicing out of play. 1-2. And I still remember standing next to whoever the center fielder was that day and how awesome it was. It was so cool.
I think I had a similar experience at the Somerset Patriots Park before they were the minor league AA affiliates of the New York Yankees. They used to be indie ball. And they used to play, like, the Long Island Ducks. I'm trying to think of some other teams. But I think I remember getting on the field there. And it lasts a lifetime. So
1-2 on Marchand. Takes his time out. Alexander, the wind of the pitch. Down and in. Marchand stutter steps out of the way. 2-2.
You know, he's not up to bat right now, but in the last half inning,
2-2, down and in, full count of Marchand.
Still thinking about next year's Iron Pigs team. I could see Buddy Kennedy potentially filling a similar role to what Weston Wilson
yes.
did this season. You know, where Kennedy, I think, has shown he's a good enough hitter here at the AAA level.
Pitch to Marchand, fouls it back.
That it's worth giving him another shot at the big league level to give him some time to figure it out. But you just got to figure with the Phillies' loaded roster that there's not going to be many spots open after spring training. But I wouldn't be surprised to see Kennedy, you know, start the season with Lehigh Valley, but then make his way up to the big league club, and we might not see him again.
3-2. Marchand fouls another one away. It'll be at least an 8-pitch at bat.
I think, too, the catching position is going to be very interesting for the Pigs next year with, you know, Cody Roberts. Has Roberts been the first base coach
yes.
all week?
Yeah, for most okay. of the week. Pitch to Marchand. He slugs it in the air, deep right, back on its sights to the track in front of the wall. Has just enough room as he backs up into the fence. and Tyra Marchand, two outs. Yeah, he's been coaching first while Tank has just posted up in the dugout. I think Cody's just getting kind of antsy, if I'm being honest. He's, you know, been held out, unfortunately, with a hand injury here down the stretch. And, you know, Cody's just somebody who loves staying involved, loves seeing the game from different angles, learning anything. First pitch to Ryan McKenna. Swings, hits a chopper back up the middle on the left field side of second. McDonough, the second baseman, corrals it, throws on the run to first, gets McKenna, and the inning over. Pigs go down 1-2-3, and we go to the fifth. Still scoreless here on the Iron Pigs Radio Network, presented by Ashley, the largest furniture store brand in North America.
So she got me in here, so I'll be doing my program here. So I appreciate that, man. Yep.
We go on to the top of the fifth. It's the Blue Sox nothing and the Iron Pigs nothing. Sam Zelnick with you from the Cyan Sky broadcast booth. Please be joined here for the top of the fifth from Pennsylvania 811. It's Ryan Parrish. Ryan, I had you on for a pregame interview last year. I'm glad we got you out here for a live game this time around. How you doing?
I'm doing great. It's a beautiful day out today. You can't beat this right now.
Oh, man, this is just absolutely stunning. Perfect way to end the season. Perfect weather. Really crisp, clean ball game to this point. Sal and Ron Hell back to work, and Bobby Dalbec swings and misses. 0-1. So, you're with Pennsylvania 811. I kind of know a little bit about that, but for those who don't know, what does PA 811 do?
So, we protect underground facilities. So, we're the communication network between those underground utilities. So, anybody, facility owners, excavators, designers, project owners, whatever, middleman for any issues between those companies and underground utilities.
And from what I understand, the reason you guys are called 811, because that's the number you call.
That's right. We can call 811 anytime you dig into the ground. We have online websites. We have applications you can use. But if you're generally just going to dig into the ground using powered equipment, just dial 811.
And for those who don't know why it's so important, why should you call before you dig?
Yep. So we have a bunch of underground utilities. You probably see a bunch of those lines on the ground, colored lines, blue lines, yellow lines, red lines. Those mean that there's some type of underground utility there. And it's just generally safe. You don't want to damage any of those underground utilities, knock out communications, hit a gas line that's underground. So that's why we always want you to call 811 before you guys dig. You don't know what's there.
Dalbec doubles here to begin the inning. Yeah, so whenever I was a kid thinking about digging a hole to China, I should have called you guys first.
Especially, definitely if you're using powered equipment. That is in the 811 law. You don't want anybody coming after you. You don't want to get fined. So if you're going to plan to dig to China, please call 811 beforehand or use one of our online applications.
And I remember talking about this briefly with you last year. What is your role with 811?
So I'm a liaison. We have 11 liaisons across the state. I'm the one for Berks County, Lehigh Valley. Just this general eastern side of Pennsylvania, you have any issues. I'm the middleman between the underground utility and you guys, the homeowner, the project owner, the excavator, designer. I'm the middleman if you guys have any questions regarding the 811 law or if I should be actually calling 811 before I dig into the ground.
Runner at second, nobody out for the Woo Sox, and the pitch to Phillip Sykes misses just down low. Ball 2-2-1. Alan Ron Hell with a man out at second, nobody out. We're scoreless here on the top of the fifth. And you guys partnering us with here at the Iron Pigs, it's funny, one of these things is Dahlbeck takes off for third and Sykes fouls it back, and he knows that he shouldn't have checked his swing on that, because if he just lets Dahlbeck take off for third, that's a stolen base. Dahlbeck back to second, the count 2-2, is that as somebody who takes in so much sports media in general, I don't know if you know this, 8-1-1, even if it's outside of Pennsylvania, I've noticed so many 8-1-1s, or whatever their equivalent is in other states, partners with sports teams.
Oh, yeah, you can always see us on the warning tracks, bad stops. We're national. It's not just 8-1-1, it's not a Pennsylvania thing. Every state wants you to protect their underground utility structures. Like I said, you don't want to damage any of those communications lines and knock out 911 communications or stop somebody from watching any game that's on the television. We've got to watch our Phillies, got to watch our Eagles, so we don't want to ruin any of that opportunity.
2-2 on Sykes. Dahlbeck still out at second. Buddy Kennedy going to hold him a little bit tighter now. Ron Hell set to the chest, looks back to second, and the pitch. Fastball way high, full counts. First time back out of the yard this year for you?
Oh, yeah, first time.
Got it in
like
under the wire.
Got him the beautiful today. Very beautiful day to get in here and see everything. So I can't complain.
Just you from 811 out today, or you got a whole crew?
Oh, we got a couple people from 811. They're out here somewhere.
Awesome.
Scattered around, having a great time. Like I said, it's beautiful out here.
3-2 pitch, cut on and missed. Ron Hell strikes out Sykes. That's the first out here. The fifth, one away. Dahlbeck still out at second. That brings up Tyler McDonough. I forget, you a baseball fan?
I'm a baseball fan. Played it my whole life, played it in college. And
no kidding.
It's a lovely sport.
Where do you play in college?
I played at Penn State Berks.
No
so
kidding.
Not too far from here.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yep.
Good for you.
So passion for the game.
First pitch to McDonough. Breaking ball in the outside corner, 0-1. When did you play?
I played in 2006, only in 2007.
Okay. I was thinking, man, I forget if you went to Berks or somewhere else. This was well after your time. I knew a player who ended up playing pro ball for the Orioles in their minor league system as McDonough chases down the dirt, 0-2. Coming out of Penn State, one of the Penn State Berks, or pretty sure it was Perks or Harrisburg, one of the satellite campuses, and it was just wild because he dominated Division III baseball. And whenever I see a D3 guy go pro, it's super cool as Ron Hell gets McDonough. The swing and miss and a changeup down and out of the zone. That's the second out here in the fifth. What position you play?
I played first base and I played outfield. Whatever. Ooh. I would have played any position they got me in there. Just being a freshman, that's cool. So.
Two outs. Man still at second from Max Ferguson. And how long have you been with 8-1-1 now?
I got hired right before the pandemic, so I'm going on about my fifth year.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Having fun?
I love it. Like I said, you don't get many jobs where you get to do this, so it's great.
Hey, it's either your job or my job, I guess.
Yeah, that's right.
0-1 on Ferguson. He grounded to second his first time up. Dahlbeck still at second, doubled to begin the inning. Ron Hell comes down to the mound, the pitch. Fastball way high, 1-1. Looks like Spencer Turnbull is starting to throw out in the Iron Pigs bullpen, getting ready for his rehab outing here out of the bullpen. Runner at second, two gone, still scoreless. Ferguson from the left side. Ron Hell, a glance to second, deals home. And it's a soft line drive. That's going to drop into left, a base hit. Dahlbeck to third. He gets the wave around. He's going to score without a play. It's an RBI single for Max Ferguson as he floats one into left. Driving home Bobby Dahlbeck with the first run of the game. And it's 1-0 Woo Sox here in the fifth. That was a good piece of hitting.
It was good. A little poke out there in the left.
Not too shabby. So with, I know 8-1-1 days in the rearview mirror. That was last month. Anything else coming up for you guys that you want people to be aware of?
We just ended our last big tour. I have some programs coming up here October 4th. I'll actually be back in this stadium doing an excavator program. So
awesome.
If you guys want to learn about the 811 law, I'll have free breakfast, and that starts at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Free breakfast?
Yeah, free breakfast. Sign me up. You can't complain.
Runner at first, two outs from Marco Lozavari. Rounded to third base his first time up. Ron Hell deals, and Lozavari fouls it back. 1-1. 1-0 Woo Sox in fifth. Runner at first, two outs. You're going to have machinery on hand?
We will not have machinery on hand, but we will have some type of demo at some point during our future programs.
Oh, that's fun. So as the liaison, you get to talk about all this stuff. Do you ever get to operate any of the equipment?
We do put on competitions.
It's
called our Outdoor Equipment Rodeos. They're happening at all of our safety days, and we put on competitions to see who is the best operator in this side of the state using powered equipment. So any of those small excavating companies out there, join our safety days, and let's see what skills you have.
The pitch home, Colesbury grounds it just foul down the third baseline, 2-2. Now, I am very intrigued.
Yeah.
That sounds like a ton of fun. That sounds like a sport that you'd find on ESPN 8, the Ocho.
It's little games where you just have to pick up a basketball with a backhoe and jump it into into maybe a trash can or into an actual basketball hoop, and we time you. So it's fun.
That is so cool.
They get really competitive.
I can imagine. Oh, my goodness. Man, I got to watch this. I got to come out next time.
And we will be in Allentown 2025.
Oh,
heads up.
Well, you need a broadcaster for it.
Yep.
my rates are very affordable. Cue ball up the first baseline. It's foul. Colesbury will stay alive here at 2-2. And it looks like Colesbury actually chipped the end of the bat, so he's going to have to go get a new piece of wood here. Is there any time when you've put on one of those events that somebody was able to either do something that, like, really, really impressed you?
Oh, we have somebody that just gets better and better, faster and faster. Every time we put on that competition, it increases time. They beat the time every single time. So I don't know if they're practicing to get ahead of the game, but these operators are impressive with their backhoes and their equipment that they ride.
That's really cool. Year over year, they actually get better. You know, it's you think about the Olympics and the training that goes into that, they get better year over year. The fact that it kind of applies to everything, even just handling heavy machinery.
Could be a future Olympic sport. We never know.
2-2, the pitch. And Colesbury, a line drive, hooking, though, foul. Into the left field seats. Count remains 2-2. Back to first, Ferguson. Woo Sox lead it 1-0 on Ferguson's RBI single here in the inning. Iron Pigs are getting Tristan Garnett loose out in the bullpen with Ron Hell now at 66 pitches. Allen really hasn't been working that deep of late. This is first outing in 11 days. The pitch home. Curveball misses up and in. Full count. So after three consecutive foul balls from Colesbury, he'll get an eighth pitch of the at-bat with a full count. Ferguson at first. Hall still holding him on. Gets a head jump. 3-2 pitch. Runner goes and Colesbury checks his swing. He went around. Down on strikes. And the inning over. Ron Hell strikes out three in the inning. He gives up the first run of the game on the Ferguson RBI single. Well, Ryan Parrish, PA811, yes. Thank you for joining me again for the top of the fifth.
I appreciate the time.
We go to the last of the fifth. Pigs down 1-0 here on the Iron Pigs Radio Network. Presented by Ashley, the largest furniture store brand in North America. Halfway home, we go to the bottom of the fifth. It's the Blue Sox 1, Iron Pigs nothing. Connor Brown back alongside me, Sam Jelinek here in the Cyan Sky broadcast booth. Ethan Wilson due up for the Iron Pigs. Wilson, Kemp, and Haley. Pigs now down 1-0. RBI single for Max Ferguson, giving the Blue Sox the lead. Jason Alexander back to work, and the first pitch of the inning, Wilson takes down. Oh, called strike. Bottom of the zone, 0-1. Welcome back.
All of a sudden, the Iron Pigs are trailing. What happened?
What happened? We weren't paying attention. Pitch to Wilson's cut on missed. 0-2. You're telling me you got distracted?
Me?
You?
There's nothing else going on today. Why would I be distracted?
0-2 to Wilson. Outside 1-2.
No, I know Dahlbeck had his 19th double of the season, nice, to drive in the first run for the Blue Sox.
No, he doubled to begin the inning. He didn't drive. Oh. He scored the run.
Excuse me.
The pitch. Wilson, a cue ball off the end of the bat. It's up the middle. Shortstop Dahlbeck surrounds it, throws off balance to first. It's Wilson. First down. I will be honest, whenever NFL and college football season kicks into gear at the end of the baseball season, I do love it in that when you go down to the clubhouses and you talk with players, you kind of see a different side of them, something else that they might be passionate about, and seeing that different element to them and what else they care about in their life is kind of cool. Pitched Otto Kemp, misses up and in ball one, because you understand, you know, maybe even though they went to, say, UVA, they grew up maybe NC State fans, or for those who got to play at the school they grew up rooting for. It's very cool. The pitch. Down the middle, 1-1, or whatever NFL team they root for.
Well, it's always cool to hear professional athletes, mm-hmm, like other professional,
yes,
sports, and kind of you actually can relate to them in that sense.
Pitch to Kemp, swung on and missed, 1-2. I heard David Dahl down the locker room earlier today talking trash for fantasy football.
Of course, I mean, it's that time of year. I found myself somehow in three fantasy leagues, even though I hate fantasy.
Kemp, a pop-up, shallow right, long run for Sykes, racing in, he gets the spot. Puts it away, quickly two outs. Brings up Jim Haley. Now, fantasy football at the professional baseball level is as serious and intense as it gets.
Well, just ask Tommy Pham and John,
yes,
Peterson. It's very intense. So don't use that IR spot if you don't have to. Tommy Pham will find you.
Pitch is down and away to Haley, ball one. I don't know, to me, if you're not cheating, you're not trying.
Exactly.
Use every loophole you can. The pitch to Haley's inside, ball two. I remember when I started in my league, that it was a keeper league that nobody had thought of before, stashing a player who was hurt for the entire year. And I did that with Jordy Nelson back in the day, and it revolutionized the game. Haley breaks his bat on a one-hopper over to first. Well wide of the bag, Benellis has it. Tosses to Alexander, covering at first. Haley is retired, and the inning over. Pigs go down in order, and we go to the sixth already. Iron Pigs down 1-0 here on the Pigs Radio Network, presented by Ashley, the largest furniture store brand in North America. Top of the sixth, Blue Sox leading the Iron Pigs 1-0, and Spencer Turnbull enters for the Iron Pigs in his Good Shepherd rehab appearance. Good Shepherd is the exclusive sponsor of Major League Rehab appearances at Coca-Cola Park. Nationally recognized experts in physical rehab, Good Shepherd gets you or your loved one back in the game, back to work, and back to everyday life following injury, illness, or surgery. For more, visit homerunrehab.org. Expertise, innovation, compassion, Good Shepherd. So Turnbull comes on. It's his first outing in a live game since he got to go back for Spencer to his last start with the Phillies, which was on June the 26th. He left that game, though, with some injury, which was later revealed to be a right lat strain. He's been rehabbing ever since, currently on the 60-day IL, trying to get ready for the postseason. And following this rehab appearance, the Phillies do expect to send him back down to Florida to continue to rehab, and then they'll just kind of gauge where he's at and see if he's postseason ready.
Yeah, and they potentially really could use a guy like Spencer Turnbull, with Taijuan Walker really struggling as the fifth starter for the Phillies. And I know the rotation is going to shrink once you get to the postseason, but you're still going to need to have some starters give you some long relief appearances potentially. And I don't know if you really have that confidence in Taijuan Walker right now. So I know the Phillies probably have their eyes on Turnbull right now and how his rehab goes, because that's definitely an area of concern I see for the Phillies heading into the postseason.
His first pitch to Corey Rozier is a four-seamer down low. Ball one. Turnbull, before he got hurt, was having a stellar season for the Phillies, where he had been pressed into that fifth starting role early in the season with Taijuan Walker on the shelf initially. Turnbull was throwing fantastic, then moved back into the bullpen. Pitch to Rozier, fouled away. 1-1 as Walker came back, and the Phillies looked to help keep Turnbull's innings a little bit suppressed as a guy coming off of Tommy John surgery. However, that still ended up not helping as he bounced between the rotation and the bullpen, and in his final start against Detroit, went three innings, allowing one run, but had to leave due to the lat injury. The pitch, backdoor breaking ball, called strike. 1-2. He's 3-0 this year with the Phillies, a 2.65 ERA in 54 and a third innings. And I think if at the start of the year, injuries aside, you told the Phillies that, hey, for $2 million, you'll get 54 innings out of Spencer Turnbull that's going to be a 2.65 ERA, you take that 10 times out of 10.
No, you absolutely do. And that is why you always, I think, just hand out these contracts to some of these veteran guys, because you never know. I mean, look at the Mets and Jose Iglesias and how that has spanned out with that being a minor league deal to begin with. So, you know, the Phillies definitely have to love their decision to, you know, use that $2 million on Turnbull with a lot of their other money guaranteed in other spots.
And think about where the Phillies might or might not be without Spencer Turnbull,
yep,
where at the beginning of the season they went on such a fantastic run, thanks in part because they had a five-man rotation that was so good, where once, obviously, Turnbull and then Walker got hurt slash was ineffective, and you had to start digging deeper into the well, and you got some good outings from Colby Allard, Tyler Phillips, as well as Michael Mercado, but it certainly hasn't been perfect in that regard. The pitch. Rozier, a chopper up the middle on three high hops. Buddy Kennedy has it. Throws to first. Gets Rozier. First out. So the fact that Turnbull gave you as many good innings at the start of the season when the Phillies banked so many wins, which is why now, at the end of the season, where, yes, the Phillies got hot again, then a little bit cold during the middle stretch, and depending on what day of the week it is the past couple of weeks, you might say that the Phillies are in a good spot or not. I've constantly believed that they're fine. Other people act like the sky is falling. That's for them, not for me. But what Turnbull did at the start of the season was a huge contributing factor. First pitch fastball to Roman Anthony. Misses down and in. Ball one.
And you're also talking about the beginning of the season where Ranger Suarez was looking like he potentially was going to be the Cy Young conversation. That's teared off a little bit as well for him. So just that having, you know, starting pitching depth, and not even just, you know, having starting pitchers on the playoff roster that can give you multiple innings is going to be really important, especially if Ranger Suarez isn't giving you early season Ranger Suarez in the postseason, though Ranger Suarez is a phenomenal postseason pitcher. I will say that about Mr. Ranger.
2-0 pitch. Anthony takes down low.
And arguably one of the best walk-up pitch-up songs ever.
Mr. Ranger.
Just perfect, man.
I don't know if somebody's written a story on it or not, whether or not he knew about the song before somebody suggested that he do it because of Mr. Ranger, or that he went to the song naturally. It's kind of what I want to know. 3-0 on Roman Anthony. One out, top of the sixth. It's 1-0 Woo Sox, and the 3-0 fastball on the black. 3-1. does fit him so perfectly.
It does.
It's very funny.
And, I mean, anyone who listens to that song and they just listening to the opener,
yeah,
it's just perfect.
He's such a calm, cool, collected character. 3-1. Anthony takes down and in. It's ball four and Roman Anthony. Surprise, surprise, a walk. I can't wait, inevitably, for when Roman Anthony's in the big leagues and Boston Sports Talk Radio, in an effort to find something to complain about for him, says that he walks too much. He doesn't drive in enough runs.
He's going to get the Juan Soto treatment that New York fans were giving him during this season in New York Sports Talk Radio. I do love that. Just when you're thinking about these guys who are going to these major markets, yeah. Boston, Philly, New York, these phenomenal athletes who, you know, spend their whole year prepping for the sport. How are we going to criticize them? Like, what are we going to look for to criticize them about? I also think that's just another way of kind of loving up people with tough love, especially in some of these tougher, bigger markets. But Roman Anthony, if his issue at the big league level is he walks too much, I think he'll do all right.
Here's Chase Mondroth. Mondroth walks more than anybody else in the International League, leading the league in OBP, 437. The pitch, Mondroth, a weak chopper, wide of the bag at first. Hall charging in, has it, fires to second, one, and holding on to it, Haley at second. Got the fielder's choice. Turnbull was there to cover, but Mondroth hustling down the line.
And Anthony not sliding into second there. That's kind of something new in baseball, where you're seeing guys not necessarily slide in on potential double plays anymore, because you got to think that it's much harder as a fielder to throw around a runner when they're standing up rather than when they're sliding into the base, that it makes it a much harder double play to turn.
Runner at first, two outs. The pitch is in the dirt to Alex Benellis. Nice block by Marshawn. Ball one. One and oh on Benellis. 1-0 Woo Sox, top of the sixth. Runner at first, two outs. Turnbull deals, and the pitch cut on and missed. 1-1. The plans for Turnbull, more than likely two innings here. So far, so good. Just 14 pitches in. Velo seems fine, 92 miles an hour. Pitch on Benellis, fouls it back. One ball, two strikes. Turnbull, this season, the major league level, averaged 92 on the four-seamer. So the velo holding pretty steady. The pitch. Backdoor sweeper, called strike three, and Benellis down on strikes. Good inning for Spencer Turnbull as he walks Roman Anthony, but then gets two outs, including a punch out to end the frame. We go to the bottom of the sixth. Iron Pigs trailing the Woo Sox 1-0 here in the Pigs Radio Network, presented by Ashley, the largest furniture store brand in North America.
Oh,
Home half of the sixth inning, Iron Pigs trailing the Woo Sox 1-0. Cam Booser is now on the mound for the Woo Sox. Takes over for Jason Alexander, who leaves in line for the win to end his season. Five scoreless for Alexander. Gives up just three hits, one walk, three strikeouts. Austin Hayes leading off against Booser, top of the order here. First pitch from the lefty, and Hayes swings and misses. 0-1. This is obviously an at-bat that a lot of people are going to look at, because this is the first time Hayes has faced a lefty here on rehab. And for all intents and purposes, Austin Hayes, even though the Phillies and Rob Thompson have talked about how they want him being an everyday guy, he's here to mash lefties.
No, he really is. And
checks his swing on a pitch down the dirt, appeal to first. He held up 1-1.
And, I mean, he really is going to be a nice platoon with Brandon Marsh, who still has struggled against lefties in his major league career. That just makes the outfield that much more potent. Then also when you get Weston Wilson also in the mix, when you're talking about platooning guys, a lot of depth there in the outfield for the Phils. I know they're going to like having Austin Hayes back up, but, you know, Cal Stevenson has done a really nice job filling in for Hayes and hasn't made Hayes' absence that much missed.
Pitch to Hayes, and Austin hits it hard on the ground, back at the bag at third. Ferguson, a backpedal step, fires low to first, and Benellis can't pick it. Hayes is safe at first in the error. That was a really poor throw from Ferguson. He tried to skip it over to first. He had more than enough time to set his feet, and just not a good throw. Benellis maybe had a better shot to pick it, but came up short. Leadoff man aboard. Booser on in relief for the Woo Sox. Southpaw faces a lefty here in Carson Taylor. The pitch, Taylor takes down and away.
So I guess you could say Jason Alexander didn't Costanza it in his last start of the season.
I knew you were.
Was that too on the nose?
I knew you were a Seinfeld guy.
Yeah.
Saw that coming a mile away. Wasn't going to say anything, but
I figure he gets enough, so I was going to hold it to just one.
1-0 pitch. And Taylor with a high fly ball to center, chasing Anthony back a couple of steps, shielding his eyes from the sun on the edge of the track. Makes the catch. Hayes back to first. Taylor retired. One out. Booster's thrown for the first time in over a week. He got options, but hasn't thrown since September 13th. Pitched against the Yankees, taking a loss on the 13th, third of an inning, two runs. Both earned. Had a really long run with Boston from beginning of July through the middle of August. Here's Buddy Kennedy, the pitch. And Kennedy fouls it off, 0-1. And much like a lot of people looking at Hayes' at-bats against lefties, Buddy Kennedy's going to be the same way. His path to a postseason roster spot is if he can mash lefties enough. Again, I think Buddy's more on the outside looking in versus Weston and Cal Stevenson. And that Wilson brings you a bit more position, versatility, and power. Cal brings you speed as well as the ability to bunt off the bench. Pitches inside Buddy, 1-1. But you just love, if you're the Phillies, that you have these decisions to make.
Yeah.
Because in years past, the bench had been so thin that you just weren't even thinking about it.
No, you really weren't. And these are good problems to have. And it's unfortunate for Buddy that he's probably going to be left off.
Pitch to Kennedy is fouled away, 1-2.
Just for, you know, the reasons that you're talking about. But I think it has more to do with Weston Wilson,
yes,
Cal Stevenson, the other guys, than it has anything to do with Buddy Kennedy and how he has played this year, because he's been phenomenal. It's just a really tough situation.
The thing that I always go back to is when the Phillies got rid of Jake Cave prior to the start of this season, Rob Thompson came out and said what it came down to, the pitch. Kennedy takes down and in, 2-2, is that if a pinch hit spot came up, we did not think that whoever, if we put Cave into the game, that he's going to be better than whoever we had currently at the plate. The difference now is that you have a bundle of guys that you feel comfortable with that, be it the guys currently on the roster, or roster to be, as the pitch to Kennedy is fouled away. Still 2-2. Austin Hayes, Weston Wilson, Cal Stevenson, Cody Clemens, Buddy Kennedy as well.
Yep.
So that even should injuries happen and Buddy has to be on the postseason roster, you're still okay with that.
Well, exactly, because think about how many of those Iron Pigs have had big moments with the Phillies this year. It's not you're getting to the postseason and hoping it pans out, because you hope that their season at AAA would translate somewhat to the Major League level. you've already seen them do it in big spots in the regular season, so you have that confidence in them where you feel as though you might actually have a better hitter at the plate if you're pinch hitting with Weston Wilson, Cal Stevenson, Buddy Kennedy in certain situations.
Pitch missed up high to Kennedy, so a full count. Runner at first, one out. Boozer deals, Hayes runs, and Kennedy takes down and in. Jeez, Louise, buddy. As he flipped his bat, it almost hit Mark Colesberry in the head. Colesberry is livid. He's barking at Buddy. Buddy's saying it was just an accident. Brian DeBroware is trying to calm Colesberry down. And Colesberry wants to throw hands, and Buddy just walks away, waves it all off. As I think the handle of the bat just got stuck in Buddy's hand due to pine tar, and he flipped it and ended up landing over the head of Colesberry behind the plate.
Yeah, that was obviously not... That was unintentional by Kenny right there. And, I mean, I get Colesberry's initial reaction. Like, if you get hit in the head with a bat, no matter how soft, like, it's like, hey, man, what's up? I think he probably could have de-escalated that a lot sooner because he's Buddy. Would a guy named Buddy ever do that intentionally? No.
Here's Derek Hall. Two on, one out. Pigs down a run in the sixth. Final game of the season, trying to go out on a high note. The pitch. Hall takes up high, ball one. The Iron Pigs, in addition, like we mentioned, to trying to find one more win to close out the season to avoid a three-game losing streak and falling a season-high 13, or falling back to over 12 games over under 500, which would be a season-high. Also, if they don't win today, there is a small chance that they end up tied for the fewest wins in the league. Wow. Louisville comes into the day. I believe it's Louisville or Iowa. Off the top of my head, it is Louisville, currently with 66. Pitch to Hall's a strike. Cutter in there, 2-1. So if Louisville wins today and the Iron Pigs don't, they'll end up tied for the fewest wins in the league with 67. Pigs win, you avoid that scenario. Granted, the Iron Pigs hold the edge over Louisville and losses by 4. The pitch. And Hall pop up. Foul ground, third base side, rather, off of the mask. Colesberry makes the catch. Hall retired. Two outs, two runners stay aboard. And on that thread, currently Louisville leads Omaha 5-0 in the bottom of the fifth.
All right. We like that. We don't want to end tied for the worst record in the league. And, I mean, it really hasn't felt like that at all this year. I mean, obviously, this last month has been tough in some spots for the Iron Pigs, but... Like I've been just talking about, I think all week, I think the Iron Pigs hot streak that they had just came at the wrong part of the season, and I think that reflects it in their overall season record.
Two on, two out for Rafael Marchand, switch hitting and batting right, and for batting from the left side first couple of times up. 0-2 today. Hayes at second, the pitch. Marchand takes down and in. Ball one. It's been a struggle for the Pigs the past couple of nights with runners in scoring position. A lot of runners left on base, you think, last night, leaving them loaded in the seventh and the ninth. Both time the tying run at third. Boozer set. Lefty from the belt, red glove down the slope, and Marchand takes way high. Ball one, E5 to open the inning, then a walk. Buddy Kennedy.
I wonder, too, if, you know, the lack of hitting with runners in scoring position has anything to do with the end of the season and guys just being overall tired. Yeah. It has to be a grueling, grueling test.
Breaking ball down and in, 3-0. Trying to keep that same intensity, plate appearance in, plate appearance out. When you see the finish line right there, you try to maintain it, but there's that little worm in the back of your head just gnawing at you, saying, man, we're almost there. 3-0 on Marchand. Ryan McKenna on deck. The pitch. Marchand takes down the middle. 3-1. Marchand checks his swing. Pitch down low. He lays off. Ball four. Marchand draws the walk and very carefully places his bat down on the ground.
That's what I was chuckling about, as Marchand learned from Colesberry. Maybe Colesberry just gave the Iron Pigs a little memo when he caught that pop-up on the last out from Hall. Like, hey, guys, like, sorry about that. Could you just nicely put it down next time, though?
Out of the mound goes the pitching coach for the Blue Sox, Dan DeLucia. I feel like everybody, when they were playing Little League, had that one kid in the league who would have a problem throwing the bats. And I don't mean
I was one of them.
And I don't mean, like, they were throwing because they were angry, but
yeah.
Just they had no idea how to hold on to it when they were, like, swinging.
That was me, Sam. Like, I would swing in middle school. I remember it was, like, travel ball in the summer. And I had umpires who were telling me, like, I'm going to call you out. And,
yeah.
And one time I did get called out for it because I would let go of it. And sometimes it would go, like, all the way to the backstop. And I wouldn't even notice it because I used to have trouble with just absolutely death gripping the
yeah.
bat. So I would try to go a lot more softer. And that would result in some flying bats.
Bases loaded for Ryan McKenna. McKenna had one of the bases loaded chances last night for the Pigs. Ended up grounding out. 0-2 tonight, the pitch. Swings and misses. Backdoor sweeper. 0-1. Blue Sox getting another lefty loose down the bullpen. Pigs down a run. 1-0, bottom of the sixth. Boozer ready. Here it comes. And McKenna fouls it back to the top of the screen. That thing was making a beeline. Come up into the booth. Thankfully, the screen got in the way.
If it doesn't hit the top of the screen where the strings like come together,
we're in trouble.
That was coming right back here. I was ready to duck.
Theoretically.
In practice.
Yeah.
I had a plan to be ready.
0-2. Fastball called strike three. Top of the zone inside corner. McKenna's going to challenge. Boozer doesn't seem all convinced that that was a strike. He's not even moving from the mound. And the rest of the Woo Sox defense is staying out there, too. And let's see. Upon review, yeah, that was high. Call of returns. One and two on McKenna after the overturn call. Bases loaded, two outs, the 1-2. Breaking ball down and in. 2-2. Two and two on McKenna. Boozer first inning out of the bullpen in the midst of it, surrounded on the mounds. Break even pitch. Bounced in front of the plate. Calls a very nice stop on a pitch that was about 5 feet out in front of home. Got ourselves a full count. Boozer now at 27 pitches here in the inning. Runners will be off from the pitch. Kind of takes his timeout. Steps back in. Bases loaded, two gone, Pigs down a run in the sixth. Runners go, 3-2, McKenna takes, down and in the dirt, ball four. That forces home a run, we're tied at one.
Yeah, you can tell Boozer right now is just not comfortable with his breaking pitches. I mean, before that, you know, ball four, he bounced, I believe it was his curveball, well in front of catcher Mark Colesberry. And wasn't too surprised there to see McKenna get walked with Boozer not coming out of the ballgame.
So we got a pitching change here for the Woo Sox. Chad Tracy out of the dugout takes the ball from Boozer. He's going to go get another lefty out of the bullpen. So we'll go ahead, step aside for a moment, and when we come back, Woo Sox will have a new pitcher on the bump. Tied at one, bases still loaded, two outs here in the sixth. Don't go anywhere. Here on the Iron Pigs Radio Network, presented by Ashley, the largest furniture store brand in North America. New arm on the mound for the Woo Sox here in the midst of it. Bottom of the sixth, bases loaded, two outs. Bailey Horn inherits the situation. Option back from Boston earlier this week. Horn making his first appearance since that option. Inherits a bases loaded situation from Cam Boeser, who goes two-thirds of an inning, walks three, one error, and allows one run to score. It's unearned as Austin Hayes reached on an error. Horn, who was claimed off waivers from Chicago earlier this season, is 3-2 with the Woo Sox with a 2.25 ERA, 28 innings, 32 strikeouts. With Boston, he was 1-1 with a 6.50 ERA. Left-handed pitcher, 6'2", 210 pounds, out of Waco, Texas, fifth-round pick out of Auburn by the White Sox. Has Ethan Wilson due up? Left-on-left matchup. Go ahead, run at third. That's Kennedy. Out at second, Marshawn McKenna, who just drove in the tying run at first. The pitch from Horn, and Wilson swings and misses. 0-1. Ethan Wilson with a huge game on Wednesday, has really struggled since. Had one more hit Thursday, but after that, it's come up empty. 0-1. Fastball zips in on the outside corner. 93 tags the black. 0-2. Wilson, since that hit on Thursday, is now 0 for his last 10. 3 for 18 this week. Two hits Wednesday, one Thursday. That's it.
Yeah, this is an even more tough situation with the lefty-lefty matchup.
0-2. Swing and a miss. Horn just three pitches, dispatches Wilson quickly, and ends the inning. Pigs do tie the game, though, on the bases loaded walk, but they leave them loaded. We go to the seventh. Tied at one here in the Iron Pigs Radio Network, presented by Ashley, the largest furniture store brand in North America. Top of the seventh, final game of the season, and we got a good one brewing. Tied at one, he's Connor Brown, I'm Sam Jelinek. Iron Pigs tied up on a bases loaded walk to Ryan McKenna. That run charged to Cam Boeser, but it's an unearned run after the error by Max Ferguson began the inning. Spencer Turnbull, after a scoreless sixth, comes back out for the seventh. Dahlbeck, Sykes, and McDonough do up. Dahlbeck doubled and scored the only run of the game for the Woo Sox back in the fifth. Turnbull was taken over for Allen Rondhel. Allen was really, really good again today. Five innings, one run, three hits, no walks, six strikeouts. Pitch from Turnbull misses up and into Dahlbeck, ball one. And I'm curious, you know, I don't know the details of Rondhel's contract as a guy who was signed midway through the year, but I'm intrigued by him enough. If the Phillies can bring him back on a minor league deal, stockpile him as starting pitching depth with the Iron Pigs, I don't hate it. Pitch to Dahlbeck's a strike.
No, and because he's very versatile, like, like he shows you today, or in his last two starts, he can start games, give you five innings. He can also come in out of the pen. A very versatile pickup for the Pigs towards the end of the season was Allen Rondhel, and I would really like to see him around next year because of that versatility And I think that really bodes well at the AAA level, especially if you have an unexpected call-up where you need a guy to throw a couple innings. I think Rangel is the perfect guy for that.
1-1's cut on a miss, so 1-2 on Dalbec. I think you make a great point that the Phillies have prioritized so much her triple A pitch. Dalbec fouled off, 1-2. Versatility, not just in their position players, but also in their pitching staff. And if you look at the picks rotation the past couple of years, it's not just guys who can start, it's guys who have had relief experience before. And if you are just a true bullpen guy, you're somebody who can go multiple innings. They expose you to all of that, knowing that if you get called up, typically when you're a call-up at the AAA level and you're not a top prospect, Dalbec off the end of the bat, a bouncing ball over the first base bag, and it skitters to the sidewall. Dalbec around first, and he's going to get to second with his second double of the ball game. I don't know how that baseball stayed fair. It was bouncing along like almost like an egg-shaped baseball instead of purely round.
Yeah, it was certainly interesting because you thought either it was going to die and Hall was going to be able to make that play, or it was just going to roll foul. That third option I did not see coming, but Dalbec now with his back-to-back doubles for him.
Tristan Garnett's going to start throwing out in the Iron Pigs bullpen again. Turnbull now with 21 pitches. Inside move to second, chases Dalbec back. Wusox also have a righty getting up. Batters Phillip Sykes, 0-2. A couple of punch-outs against Rangel. Turnbull deals. Fastball in the inside corner, 0-1. Tied at 1. Pigs just tied it up. Wusox trying to get the lead back. Dalbec doubled and scored to open the 5th. It's doubled here to begin the 7th. Turnbull delivers, and Sykes off the end of the bat fouls it back. 0-2.
I'd say it's good stuff from Turnbull so far. You know, in the last inning, he started off with a walk. Was able to get the next 3 outs. Here, you know, Dalbec does get that double. That was weak contact. Mm-hmm. And it kind of a fluky thing where it just stayed fair.
0-2. Breaking ball up and in, or fastball rather, up and in from Turnbull. One, two to Sykes. Breaking ball lofted in the air. Shallow center. Kennedy backpedaling into right center. Second baseman makes the catch.
That's what happens when you just stay ahead of batters. 1-2. You know, you don't want to go down looking. So if you're Sykes in that situation, you're going to swing out a pitch that you don't really love to drive or can drive. And you get that short little soft pop up to Kennedy. Good job by Turnbull responding from the leadoff double by Dalbec.
Here's Tyler McDonough. McDonough 0-2 today. Switch hitter batting left. Turnbull steps off. Spencer Rito in the rubber, guy who had spent his career with Detroit for a no-hitter a couple of years ago. The pitch, breaking ball on the outside corner, slow one at 74, 0-1. Certainly an interesting past 24 months for Turnbull, coming back from Tommy John. Struggled with Detroit last year as he came back for his first full season and then ended up having to file a grievance against the Tigers. 0-1 misses outside, 1-1, as he claimed and ultimately was proven right that the Tigers tried to manipulate the IL in such a way to end up in a scenario where he wouldn't reach 5 years of Major League service time, which is a very important number because it's at 5 years where you can reject an option to the minors, even if it's outside of an outright assignment. 1-1 on McDonough. The pitch. And McDonough crushes it deep to right. Wilson gives it a cursory look. That baseball is way out of here. Two-run homer for Tyler McDonough on the final day of the season. Hits his first for the Wusox. And Worcester reclaims the lead 3-1 here in the 7th.
Well, that certainly sounds like something that happens in the last series of the season where Tyler McDonough finally gets his first long ball here for the Woo Sox.
Off a major league rehabber.
Off a major league rehabber and Spencer Turnbull. And, you know, just going back to, you know, major league teams manipulating players' service times and stuff. And I have to be honest, I don't think there's anything more scummier in sports. You know, when you're just talking about the benefits that these players get when they reach that service time and also all the sacrifices they make when they're at the minor league level, when they're being undercompensated and everything like that. So
frustrating.
Very frustrating.
First pitch to Ferguson's down and in ball one. For the full story, The Athletic had a phenomenal piece on it. He raised Turnbull, was eventually put on the IL when he was in the minors. 1-0. Grounded the other way, off the line at third. Otto Kemp able to glove it, fires to first and gets Ferguson. Two outs. Turnbull raised his August foot issue with the MLB Players Association when he was put on the IL. He said he didn't need an IL stint. The Tigers said he did. He ended the 2023 season 5 days short of getting to 5 years of service time, which, like we said, a full year of service time in 2023 put Turnbull over the five-year threshold where he has to consent to any minor league options, which gives him better negotiating power and just better power as a player, period. Cole's very chases down and away, 0-1, which was part of his contract with the Phillies where he signed for $2 million, but also there was a minor league component to that deal that if he was in the minors, he would get X amount of salary if he accepted going to the minors. 0-1, down and away, one ball, one strike.
Yeah, like, I know it was a big thing last season with the Major League Baseball cracking down on some of the IL manipulations going on. I'm all right with some of that stuff where you're just trying to gain an edge, but when you're trying to...
Pitch is kind of missed by Cole Sveri, 1-2.
Affect someone's livelihood, that's where I have a problem.
And that's why some... people don't understand it when they celebrate guys reaching 10 years of major league service time. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
Getting your full major league pension, it's not so much about the money, it's about the fact getting to 10 is nearly impossible. 1-2, swing and a miss. Fastball up and in, and Turnbull strikes out Cole Sveri to end the seventh. But Tyler McDonough, two-run shutout to right, gives the Woo Sox the lead back. Go to the bottom of the seventh, time to stretch. 3-1 Worcester here on the Pigs Radio Network, presented by Ashley, the largest furniture store brand in North America. Hope you got a good stretch in. We go to the bottom of the seventh. Iron Pigs now down 3-1. Tyler McDonough, two-run homer for the Woo Sox, giving them the lead. Otto Kemp leads off against Bailey Horn, who stays on here for the seventh. Warming up out in the Pigs' bullpen, it's Michael Mercado. Pitch to Kemp. He racks it through the hole left side and into left. A base hit. Otto Kemp with a two-hit game here to finish off his season. And the Pigs bring the tie around to the plate immediately here in Jim Haley.
Well, of course, after the Pigs go down by two runs to the Woo Sox, immediately afterwards they respond with Otto Kemp's base knock right there. And just like the rest of the games in this series, Iron Pigs putting some runners on here late, looking to build a rally. Haven't been able to do it the past two nights. Let's see if they can reach back to that Wednesday-Thursday magic that they had here at Coca-Cola Park.
First pitch, Kemp runs, throw down to second on the pitch, low, and it's late. Kemp in with a headlong dive, swipes second. Pitch missed for a ball.
That was a pretty close play there at second, but I think he just gets in there. That's a really good throw from Colesberry. I just think a better slide from Kemp as he was able to get his hand in there before the tag.
1-0 on Haley. 0-2 today. Stolen base himself. The pitch. Jim fouls it off. 1-1. One and one on Haley. Pigs trying to rally one more time this week against the Woo Sox. Their two wins this week have both been come from behind victories from three-run deficits. 1-1. Haley way late on the heater. Swings and misses. 1-2. One and two on Haley. Kemp out at second. Nobody out. Horn's pitch. Breaking ball. Foul tip. Held on to by Colesberry. Haley down on strike. Second punch out for Horn out of the pen.
Well, here's another opportunity for Hayes to hit against the lefty.
Very true. Austin Hayes, fourth rehab plate appearance today. Had two hits yesterday. Reached on error and scored last inning. The pitch. Fastball down and in. Ball one, especially going up. Boozer last inning and Horn again this inning. Although not your elite left-handed major league arms, are guys with major league time this season. So you're facing as good quality a lefty as you're going to get down at this level. 1-0. Hayes takes. Breaking ball down and out of the zone. 2-0.
Which obviously just works perfectly for what Hayes is preparing for, obviously, with, you know, hoping to get back to the Major League club here pretty soon.
Kemp still out at second. Pigs down two in the seventh. The pitch. Hayes takes up and away. 3-0. One of my favorite homers from last year that I'm now remembering was another rehabber. It was Christian Pache, a go-ahead three-run shot against Toledo in the eighth. Maybe Hayes can have some magic here. He's the tying run of the plate. The pitch. Backdoor breaking ball in for a strike. 2-2.
So I was just looking ahead for the Phillies. They're going to be wrapping up their series with the Mets tonight at Citi Field, and they have the Cubs and the Nationals to finish the season.
3-1. Breaking ball in the outside corner. Full counts.
So you got to like your chances if you're a Phillies fan to clinch the NL East at the very least.
Magic number down to one, thankfully.
With the Cubs being, you know, eliminated from postseason play.
The Nats being the Nats.
The Nats being the Nats.
And I think, as well, there's a very good chance the Phillies have a bye locked up soon. 3-2. Hayes swings and misses as Horn comes back from 3-0 down to strike him out. Third punch out for Horn. Because I'm not sure if anybody has noticed, but the Brewers, who are right now the third division winner, having already locked up the NL Central, they've been struggling against the D-backs. And I believe the Phillies have a four-game lead on them for a bye. Now they are tied with the Dodgers for the top seed. I'm not going to quibble about whether or not the top seed, you get it or not. I don't really care who you face, honestly. Pitched Carson Taylor's a strike, 0-1. All I really care about is getting the bye, period. Who you play after that, there's not too much of a big discrepancy between everybody. Just give me the bye, I'll be happy. Taylor 0-2 today. Kemp still out at second's, been there since there was two outs. The pitch. Down and away. 1-1.
And I know there's some fans that are worried about getting the bye because of what's happened the past couple of years with the Braves and the Dodgers when they've gotten the bye. But if you look at the makeup of the Phillies team, I think you definitely want that bye so you can have Zach Wheeler starting that Game 1 series.
1-1, down and in, 2-1, exactly.
Because if you don't get that bye, you're playing into the weakness of the Phillies right now where you're going to have to probably start Game 1 of the divisional series with someone you're not fully confident in.
2-1 on Carson Taylor. Horn the lefty from the belt, deals the lefty at the plate, and Taylor takes at the knees, 2-2.
We'll have Connor Mills at the Phillies-Mets game later.
2-2, Taylor a pop fly, shallow left. Everybody converging, left fielder Rozier takes command, makes the call on the catch, and the inning over. Pigs put a runner out at second to begin the inning, and then Kemp stays anchored there the rest of the way. Go to the eighth, 3-1 Blue Sox, here in the Pigs Radio Network, presented by Ashley, the largest furniture store brand in North America. Top of the eighth, getting late here in the final game of the season. It's 3-1 Woo Sox. Michael Mercado takes over for Spencer Turnbull, whose rehab outing is done. Spencer goes two innings, two runs, two hits, one walk, two strikeouts. Sitting mostly 92 with the fastball. Stuff looked relatively solid. The command was mostly good. Hung a pitch to Tyler McDonough, though, who crushed it for a two-run homer, counting for both runs against him. 34 pitches, 23 strikes, all in all. I think a step in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, he was mostly staying ahead of the hitters in the count. He did make that one mistake to McDonough, who, of course, hasn't homered all season at AAA, but gets his first AAA homer against a major league rehab pitcher, major league pitcher on a rehab assignment.
Pitch to Rozier from Michael Mercado. It's a chopper out to second. Kennedy charges, gloves, flicks it over to first. Rozier retired 0-3 today.
But I think essentially everything that you wanted to see from Turnbull today, he did.
Michael Mercado takes over for one final outing this season. Pigs trying to keep, or Phillies trying to keep their 40-man roster guys pretty fresh here. Mercado throwing for the third time this week, 18th, 20th, and now 22nd. First pitch to Roman Anthony, and he fouls it back, 0-1. Mercado, two innings so far this week, has allowed no runs, one hit, one walk, one strikeout. Iron Pigs pitcher of the year.
Yep.
Has the lowest ERA in the International League for pitchers, minimum 60 innings, 2.13 pitch. Breaking ball low, 1-1. 67, two-thirds innings, he struck out 62, 34 walks. All in all, a good season for Michael, making his major league debut. Having to bounce between reliever, starter, then back to reliever to close the year, certainly not easy, but he's done it. The pitch. Down and away. Or check that, they call it a strike?
I think they did, and
oof.
Anthony immediately challenged that. I think that's what's going to get overturned.
Whoa, wow. Call confirmed.
It got a good chunk of the zone there, too. Only a quarter of that baseball is outside the zone.
One and two on Roman Anthony, then. He's 0 for 2 today with a walk. The pitch. Curveball in the dirt. Lays off. 2-2. Anthony has only been on base once today. That walk is last time up. Been on base every day this week. Two two, swing and a miss, and Anthony frustrated slams his bat a little. Mercado strikes him out. Second time today, and Roman Anthony is struck out swinging, and he is mortal.
It turns out he is mortal. I mean, he's going up against the 2024 Iron Pigs Pitcher of the Year in Michael Mercado, so that's a tall task for him. And Mercado is certainly worthy, too, of that honor. I will be honest, I did vote for Tyler Gilbert.
First pitch, Chase Mydroth on the outside corner, 0-1.
I just felt as though Tyler Gilbert had a stretch where no other Iron Pigs pitcher kind of reached during the season. But if you're looking at the full season and what Mercado did with his versatility, kind of embodying what the Phillies and the Iron Pigs want in a pitcher.
Mydroth, the drive up the left center field alley that's down for a hit on a couple of hops. McKenna cuts it off, but Mydroth on his way to second. He's there with a double. Two-out man in scoring position now for the Woo Sox. Brings up Alex Benelis.
And, you know, Mercado did get major league time this season, but has spent, you know, majority of the back end here with Lehigh Valley. That might pay dividends if he gets an opportunity in the postseason, because he might catch some of his opponents, you know, off guard with not being up at the major leagues now for a few months now.
First pitch to Benelis, misses ball one. And I think the Phillies will really have an inflection point this offseason when they try to decide what they want out of Mercado. Is it a reliever? Is it a starter? Michael was telling me when he was optioned the last time, pitch is on the inside corner, 1-1. He said there are some in the organization who are really adamant. They think if I add a little bit more weight, a little bit more strength, that I can be a very durable starting pitcher. But it's more about what the Phillies need. And, well, midway through this year, they needed a starter. Pitch to Benelis, a fly ball out to center. McKenna battling the sun. Comes in a couple of steps, is under it, makes the catch in the inning over. And then midway through the year, change back to them needing a reliever. So that's what Mercado is now. He throws a scoreless eighth inning here, working around the two-out double. We go to the last of the eighth. Woo Sox leading the Iron Pigs 3-1 here in the Pigs Radio Network, presented by Ashley, the largest furniture store brand in North America. Home half of the eighth, Iron Pigs down to their final 6 outs, trail the Woo Sox 3-1. He's Connor Brown. I'm Sam Jelinek here from the Cyan Sky broadcast booth. Zach Kelly replaces Bailey Horn. Horn's in line for the win for Worcester after an inning and a third scoreless, strikes out 3. Now it's just one hit. Kelly, the righty, now on in relief. Second appearance this week through a scoreless inning back in the 20th. First pitch to Buddy Kennedy. Fastball up and out of the zone. Ball one. Kelly, right-handed pitcher, 6'3", 231, out of Newberry College, undrafted free agent, stretches and deals, and Kennedy, a hot ground ball foul down third base side, 1-1.
I believe that's Newberry, that's a part of the South Atlantic Conference.
Correct, the Newberry Wolves, all D2 action. Top of my head, I don't know if I can name the full sack. I can come close.
Well, we got Limestone in there.
Limestone, Newberry. Pitch to Buddy Kennedy. Checks his swing. It's inside. 2-1. Catawba.
Catawba. Wingate.
Chawan.
Is Chawan? I know Lenore Ryan.
Yes,
Lenore Ryan. Is a sack school. I think there's a new one, too, that...
2-1
joined.
Outside, 3-1. Oh, let's look it up.
Yeah, we got Google on hand. Come on,
buddy. Let's see. Wikipedia we go. Current schools. Oh, wow, man. They really expanded.
They really have.
Pitch to Kennedy is a high fly ball to right. Sykes in a couple of steps, kind of bouncing around. Finally gets under it, makes the catch. One away. So we had a couple here, but, man, they are a lot bigger than I remember. So they've expanded pretty far north into Virginia.
Yeah.
So we're talking, so we got Wingate, we got Newberry, got Limestone. I can't believe I forgot Lincoln Memorial. Got Catawba. Chawan is not in there. We got Anderson, Carson Newman. Coker, Emery and Henry, Lenore Ryan, Limestone, Lincoln, Mars Hill. Can't believe I forgot about them. Catcher Colesberry calls time, goes out to the mound. Then you have Newberry, Tusculum, UVA Wise, and Wingate. And they've added, so Emery and Henry was added 2 years ago, Limestone in 2020, UVA Wise in 2019. Yeah, they've expanded a good deal here. Newberry is one of the founding members of the SAC. Newberry, Mars Hill, Lenore Ryan, Catawba, and Carson Newman.
Well, also a former Wingate player was drafted 10th overall in last year's draft. Yep.
Yeah. Transferred to Wake Forest.
I spent a year at Wingate my freshman year of college as Derek Hall takes a strike right there. But I lived right outside the baseball field. They won the national championship, I believe, 2019 or it might have been. Yeah, I think it was right before. It was either right before or right after the pandemic.
0-1. Hall takes down the knees, called a strike. He's going to challenge it, though. 0-2. And upon review, call is going to stand. Pigs lose the challenge. It's interesting when you look at the origination of the SAC. It was called the SAC 8 originally. Quite a few D1 schools in there. You got Elon, Gardner-Webb, Presbyterian as three schools that later go on to be Division 1 schools. Pitch to Hall, ground ball up the middle on the right field side to second. Shortstop Dahlbeck collects it, throws to first. Gets Hall, two up, two down for Zach Kelly.
I actually have a SAC football conference ring. We won the conference the year
nice.
That was at Wingate. I have it somewhere around the house. I get a little embarrassed wearing it time to time because I only ever spent a year there redshirting. But I won, you know, I got a few practice player of the year, of the year, of the week awards, stuff like that.
Current D1 member, Queens University.
Yeah.
In and out of the sack pretty quick. Pitch to Marshawn. It's on the outside corner, 1-1. Marshawn batting left here.
Talk about the sports scene rising in Charlotte right now.
Yeah,
you talk about
crazy.
Queens.
Obviously, Major League Baseball, potential overtures to establish an MLB team there. Pitch to Marchand. He hits a number off the hands, charging in for it. First baseman Benella's gloves flips to Kelly, covering at first. Marchand retired, and the Pigs down in order here in the eighth. Quiet inning for the offense. Go to the ninth. Final inning, potentially, of the 2024 season. Swoop Sox 3, Iron Pigs 1. Here on the Pigs Radio Network, presented by Ashley, the largest furniture store brand in North America. Top of the ninth, it's the Woo Sox 3 and the Iron Pigs 1. And why are they putting me on Service Electric? What have I done for them to actually put me on the TV screen here? And why is it that we're on a 10-second delay so I don't notice it until after the fact? Thank you, Service, for putting me on the big screen. I really appreciate it. I can only imagine what Degs is saying about me now.
Well, it's great. It's on the 10-second
Oh, my God. Having to watch yourself in slow motion back at it is not fun.
Well, it's funny.
Let me tell you.
As you were talking about it, they just played on Service Electric the moment where you realize it.
Oh, man, that's embarrassing. That is – please show the game. Pitch home from Max Lazar to Bobby Dahlbeck's in for a strike, 0-1. So
we got to get the radio guys some airtime, some time on television.
Lazar's pitch to Dahlbeck, down and in, 1-1. Lazar taking over Michael Mercado, who finishes his 2024 with a scoreless eighth. 3-1 Woo Sox here in the ninth. Lazar, third outing back with the Iron Pigs, trying to stay on regular schedule here. Cutter on the outside corner, 1-2. Max's last time out was back in the 20th, scoreless ninth, one inning, one hit, one strikeout. Picked up a win back on Wednesday. 2-1, breaking ball on the outside corner. 2-2. Lazar making his 29th appearance of the season, 3-3 with a 2.25 ERA. Genuinely a revelation this season for the Phillies. Starting at AA on a minor league deal, Dahlbeck plugs it down the right field line. Fouls it off.
I mean, when he came up from Reading in his first stint with the Iron Pigs, he was absolutely fire, stellar, just one of the better relief pitchers in the International League, and that paid off with some appearances with the Phillies. And he was another pitcher that I considered for Pitcher of the Year.
Dahlbeck, a chopper down the third base side, charging in on it. Kemp fields in line with a back, throws high to first, and Hall can't come back down to the base. Landing kind of awkwardly on his ankle as he kind of hobbled away. Dahlbeck safe at first.
Yeah, just too high of a throw there from Kemp, as he had all the time in the world, really. I mean,
wasn't hit all that hard, and Kemp charging in on it, trying to get rid of it on the run.
Looked like he kind of looped the throw a little bit, like the release point was a little off, where it was a little high. Didn't look like it had a whole lot of juice on it either, coming from Kemp.
Runner at first, nobody out. The pitch to Phillip Sykes. Down the middle, 0-1. And one story I haven't had a chance to tell about Lazar that I think is pretty fitting to show who he is as a player and a pitcher. After his first outing with the Iron Pigs, which, mind you, when he came up from Reading, the pitch up and in 1-1, it was his AAA debut. And he had been with Reading the entire season in about 13 innings, hadn't given up a run. Hadn't given up a base run.
Yep.
Was perfect. Comes to the Iron Pigs, his first outing, gives up 2 runs, 1 earned, and takes the loss. Sykes swings and misses on a slider way inside, 1-2. Takes the loss. After the game, I'm down the clubhouse dropping some stuff off, and I see him stop manager Anthony Contreras out in the kitchen area, and he apologizes to him, saying, hey, that's not going to happen again. And I was just floored. Curveball down and away, 2-2. A guy in his AAA debut felt that way. He didn't back down from the moment, didn't blame it on anybody else, just said, I'm going to be better. And not saying I've got to be better, but that I am better. 2-2. Off the hands, a weak number foul, first base side. That's an immense level of confidence and pride in your work that is just exemplary.
Yeah.
And I think that's how you end up going from a minor league free agent deal, starting at AA, to pitching in the majors and not feeling overwhelmed by it.
Exactly, because it's not like Lazar had come through the Phillies system. He's 25 years old right now. His Dahlbeck
runner taken
off
for second. The throw from Lazar, it goes into center. Kennedy can't handle it. Dahlbeck pops up. He goes to third. Dahlbeck tried to time Lazar, who's in a rhythm. So he takes off. It'll be a stolen base and a throwing error.
But yeah, getting back to the story with AC and Lazar. Lazar is a guy who understands this world. You know, he's 25 years old. He's been in the minor leagues now for a few seasons. He understands that you only get so many opportunities. And the fact that he was that confident in himself to tell his new manager that that's not going to happen again after his first appearance.
2-2, weak grounder foul, third base side. Pigs bring the infield in here, already down 3-1. Top of the ninth, can't let another run in here.
It just speaks to the talent that Lazar has and making the most of this opportunity with the Iron Pigs. Do we have another broken bat?
Yeah, another broken bat. Had a lot of them today.
Yeah.
Two and two on Sykes. Short lead for Dahlbeck at third. The pitch. Breaking ball down and away. Sykes not interested in that. Dahlbeck at third, nobody out. Tyler McDonough on deck. Gave the Blue Sox the lead back in the seventh. The pitch. And Sykes a pop-up. That's going to get back into the seats. Count remains 3-2. Another full count pitch to Phillip Sykes. Another foul ball.
You know, it was funny. I'm saying you don't really want to allow that run to come in to score to make it a 3-run lead for the Woo Sox. But the only 2 wins this week for the Iron Pigs has been when they were trailing by 3 runs to the Woo Sox. So obviously you don't want to see the run score here to make it an even larger lead. But
never know.
At the same time.
3-2. Just down and away. Ball 4, cutter misses. Walk from Lazar. Guy who barely walks anybody. That's just the 10th walk that he's allowed with the Iron Pigs. First and third, nobody out, and the Pigs in the bullpen up here again. It's Tristan Garnett. As they want to make sure Lazar doesn't throw too many pitches here. He's already at 16. The pitch. Curveball in the outside corner, 0-1. They put the infield back here. Middle infield back at double play depth. Kemp off the line, but in at third. Hall holding on the runner at first. 3-1, Woo Sox ninth. Lazar a high set, the pitch. And McDonough, a slow chopper to third, charging in is Kemp on it. The runner scores from third as Kemp throws to first, getting the only out he can. Dahlbeck scores the fourth run of the day for the Woo Sox. McDonough drives in his third. RBI ground out Sykes up to second. One away. I don't think anything would have changed there if you have the infield in. McDonough, slow chopper. Sykes, or rather Dahlbeck, breaking from third on contact. Really good read. Tough break. Man at second now for Max Ferguson. An RBI single back in the fifth. Lays off down and away. 1-0.
Nice to see too, Kemp be able to, you know, atone for the throwing error earlier in the inning with a nice strike over to first. Ironically, though, the error that he committed came in to score in Bobby Dahlbeck.
The pitch. Curveball lands on the outside corner. 1-1.
We got the three-run deficit now, though. We got him exactly where we want him.
Perhaps. Not committing to that. Jose Adames is warming in the Woo Sox bullpen. He picked up the save a couple of nights ago. Lazar deals at the knees. 1-2. One-two pitch. Curveball down low. 2-2. Lazar now at 22 pitches, just one out in ninth. Woo Sox grinding him away. That Sykes at bat was really a killer. 2-2. Curveball in the dirt. Full count. Not getting the swings and misses he typically does.
Yeah, these Woo Sox hitters are being really patient because these are tough pitches to lay off. Like, these are not easy pitches to read coming out of Lazar's hands. So I think it's just more of the Woo Sox being disciplined and patient than Lazar missing right now.
Full count pitch. And it's a ground ball to the right side, right at Buddy Kennedy. Stays down on it, flings it over to first. Ferguson retired. Over to third goes Sykes. Two outs. Brings up Mark Colesberry, 0-3 today. Lazar is going to face him, probably his last hitter if he can't get him. Colesberry 0-3, a couple of punch outs. Right-handed hitter, 3 homers, 10 RBIs for the Woo Sox this season. The pitch, down the dirt, ball 1. 2 outs, top of the ninth. 4-1 Worcester now. The pitch. Checks his swing. Cutter missed inside. Peel to first. Say no swing. Pitch. Goes very big. Swing comes up empty. 2-1.
This would essentially be the fourth out of the inning for Lazar, if he's able to get him here.
2-1 on Colesberry. The pitch. Cutter on the inside corner. 2-2. We go to the last of the ninth. The Pigs will have McKenna, Wilson, and Kemp do up. Colesberry, a late challenge. And upon review, call is confirmed at the top of the zone. Two and two. Max Lazar kicks and fires. And Colesberry fouls it right off the mask of Marshawn. He took a beating there. Asks for the baseball from home plate umpire Brian Brower, but it's going to give him a moment, walk the ball out to the mound.
Yeah, I'd much rather accidentally take a soft bat to the back of the head than a hard line drive to the face mask of Marshawn. As the two, you just hate to see battery on battery assault
crime,
like that, a crime, you know?
Catcher on catcher crime, you'd think you'd have a little bit of compassion.
for the number two.
DeBrower is still concerned about Marshawn there, and Andrew Dodgson's now going to come out and check on Marshawn. Marshawn's telling him, I'm fine. But given Marshawn's injury history, his importance to the Phillies as the third catcher on the 40-man roster, he's going to make sure everything is okay.
And you got to figure, too, that he will more than likely be the backup catcher for the Phillies next year. I mean, we could see Garrett Stubbs have another nice spring training and retain that position. But for Marshawn, you just want to see him have a full year of health.
2-2. Fastball right there. Called strike three. Cole's very now looking. And the inning over. Blue Sox do score a run, though, as they get Bobby Dalbec on, get him over, and get him in. Go the last of the ninth. Last chance this season for the Iron Bigs. They need three to tie it, four to win it. It's 4-1 Woo Sox here on the Iron Pigs Radio Network, presented by Ashley, the largest furniture store brand in North America. Home half the ninth, last chance for the Iron Pigs here in 2024. It's the Woo Sox 4 and the Iron Pigs 1. Jose Adames will try to close it out for the second time this week for Worcester. Adames picked up the save back on the 20th, giving up a hit, struck out three. Hasn't allowed a run yet with the Woo Sox over four appearances, 3 2/3 innings. And his first pitch to Ryan McKenna. This is outside, ball one. McKenna awaiting, and the pitch is way inside, 2-0. McKenna drew a bases-loaded walk back in the sixth. That tied the game at one and is the only run of the game to this point for the Pigs, now down three. Trying to avoid a three-game losing streak to end the season. The pitch, McKenna, a worm burner out to short. Bobby Dalbec picks it up with one hand, fires to first. Gets McKenna by a mile, one out. Brings up Ethan Wilson, one out, nobody on. Well, Connor, down to final, two outs. Need offense, need it quick.
Yeah, you really do, and you hope Wilson can tap into what he did back on Wednesday night where he had his first Triple-A homer. As today, he's kind of looked lost, especially in his last at-bat where he went down in three pitches swinging.
First pitch is in for a strike, going one. That's actually the third consecutive at-bat. Wilson has had the bases loaded and hasn't come through. Swings and misses quickly down the count, 0-2.
And you wonder if he's kind of tapping back into what he was struggling with Redding to begin the season.
0-2, breaking ball bounced in, 1-2. Adames a righty, midseason pickup by the Woo Sox, by the Red Sox. It's been just nothing but nails out of the bullpen, trying to give Worcester their first 80-win season since they moved to Polar Park. 1-2 pitch. Wilson, a hard ground ball towards the right side. Second baseman McDonough flags it down, though, in shallow right. Sets his feet, throws to first, gets Wilson. The final hope for the Iron Pigs is Otto Kemp. We didn't touch on it too much, but obviously there's one name not in the lineup today for the Iron Pigs, and that's Scott Kingery. We talked about him and Derek Hall's influence in the Pigs the past four seasons. And just one more thought on Scott as he elected to take the day off himself of his own volition for a guy who's been through so much. First pitch to Kemp, down and away, ball one. And on the final day, he rested.
And he deserves it.
And he deserves every bit of that rest. And wherever he goes next, everybody here in Allentown and in Piggyville is happy to follow. Pitch to Kemp's down and in, 2-0.
Yeah.
Otto, 2-for-3 today.
Wherever Kingery ends up next year, I'll definitely be rooting for him as someone who could definitely make a difference for someone at the big league level.
The pitch, inside, 3-0. 3-0 on Kemp. Pigs down 3, bottom of the 9th, final chance of the season. Need something here. 3-0 pitch. Inside on Kemp, ball 4, and never say die. One more hitter, that brings up Jim Haley. Jim goes into this offseason again as a free agent. We'll see whether or not he returns to the Phillies org for one more year. Jim, the local product out of Delco. To Bonner Prendergast. Kemp leading from first, and now time calls a pitch clock violation issued on Adames. Ball 1. 1-0 on Haley. Jim 0-for-3 today. Pigs got the tying run in the on-deck circle. First pitch. Fastball top of the zone. Inside corner. 0-1.
I know there's two outs here, but the Woosocks still have to have in their mind what happened on Wednesday night where they absolutely handed the game to the Iron Pigs.
1-1 on Haley, the pitch. Fastball zips in at the knees outside corner, and Haley's going to challenge. Thinks that pitch missed.
Why not? Down your final out.
Can't use it at home. And upon review, call is confirmed.
And that was a better challenge try than the other. From the Woosocks, I'd say. Oh, actually, they're all about the same.
1-2 on Haley, and the Iron Pigs 2024 season down to its final strike. The pitch. Haley checks his swing, pitch in the dirt. Blocked by Colesberry. They'll appeal to first. No swing. 2-2. Two and two on Haley. Kemp at second. Pigs down 3 in the 9th. Down to their final strike. The pitch. Slider off the outside edge. Full count. Austin Hayes is on deck. If Haley can extend the ball game for him. Thomas walked Kemp. Now full on Haley. 2 outs in the 9th. 3-2. And Haley, a ground ball up the middle to his left. Dahlbeck collects it. Throws to first. Wide of the bag. Off of Benellis' glove into the Woosocks dugout. Kicks off the railing. Coming in to score Kemp. And Haley safe at first. 4-2 Woosocks in the 9th. And the Pigs do bring the tie run to the plate here in the 9th.
Great job there by Haley. Just hustling down the line. Putting the pressure on Dahlbeck to rush that throw as he's just completely offline there and keeps this ball game going for the Pigs as a self-inflicted error in the bottom of the 9th hurts the Woosocks once again. Now let's see if Austin Hayes going up against a righty has his best at-bat of the day.
Hayes 0-for-4 today, reached on an error and scored back in the 6th. It's a straight error on Dahlbeck, E6, no RBI for Haley. The pitch, Hayes takes on the inside corner, 0-1. Hayes battling back from a kidney infection. Trying to keep this game alive for the Pigs. The pitch. Slider down and away. 1-1.
And Dahlbeck didn't commit an error in the game back on Wednesday in the bottom of the 9th, but he did have a miscue where he missed second base on a fielder's choice hit by Aramis Garcia that kept that ninth inning going.
1-1 on Hayes. The pitch. Slider down and away. 2-1. Hayes had a bases loaded, or rather a chance, in the ninth inning of last night after Derek Hall had singled. Tying run aboard, struck out. Get the tying run here in the ninth. 4-2 Woo Sox, the pitch. Hayes checks his swing, pitch down low. Three balls, a strike. You got Carson Taylor on deck. Is there one more walk-off waiting in the wings for the Iron Pigs? They have seven this season. 3-1. Hayes takes, it's low. And we play on.
Pigs will not go out quietly into the night. I mean, great at bat there by Hayes. Just keep this thing going. And now with Carson Taylor being the go-ahead run, it looks like the Woo Sox want to talk some things over. Because all of a sudden, you get the first two outs really quickly here. No pressure on if you're Worcester. All of a sudden, though, the go-ahead run is up to bat. And all the pressure, I feel, is trending towards the Woo Sox side.
Pitching coach Dan DeLucia goes out to the mound one final time for the Woo Sox here. Austin Hayes is the tying run at first. Carson Taylor represents the winning run of the plate. The Woo Sox open this year against the Iron Pigs, blowing a four-run lead in the ninth. On opening night, Rodolfo Castro walked it off on what eventually was ruled a three-run homer. And the Iron Pigs walk off in the sunset here in 2024 with a three-run homer to end it again. Carson Taylor's got a chance. Iron Pigs have three walk-off wins this year over Worcester. One this week, one back in July, and one back in March. Taylor 0-for-3 today. Led the Reading Fightin' Phils and homers, joining the Pigs for the final week of the season. The pitch. Taylor checks his swing. Fastball's on the outside corner, though, 0-1.
Yeah, it would be quite the time for his first Triple-A homer.
Jose Adames ready. Looks back to second, and the pitch. And Taylor, a drive deep down the left field line, slicing towards the corner. Rozier back towards the wall. It is a foul ball. Rozier couldn't catch it as it ended up in the corner. He touched it in foul territory, going out of view of everybody. He's almost made a fantastic catch, pressed up against the fence. But it was a foul ball. And the Pigs down to their final strike again.
I think if he gets a better jump off of that, Rozier, he makes that catch, because you saw him come in initially and then kind of have to backtrack into that corner. If he reads that one off the bat, the Iron Pig season is over right
Came
there.
Came right off the heel of his glove. Oh, that would have been a fantastic play to end it. 0-2, though, on Taylor. Tying run at first, the pitch, and he fouls it back. Hanging, slider.
That was it. I've been having a tough time tracking some of the pitches from up here, but that one I could see clear as day, and Taylor was just behind on it.
First and second, two outs in the ninth. 0-2 on Carson Taylor. Last chance for the Pigs, the pitch. Slider in the dirt. 1-2.
Taylor, all you're thinking about is just keep this inning going. No matter what it is, just keep it going.
At all costs. 1-2 on Taylor, the pitch. And Taylor, a flare out towards shallow left. Chasing in, Rozier has to play it on a hop. Coming in to score is Haley. Hayes stops at second. And we play on. RBI single. Carson Taylor. 4-3 Woo Sox in the ninth. Hayes the tying run now at second, and here comes Buddy Kennedy. Taylor, a little jam shot, got it done.
Just gets it done, and you can just feel the tension building now with these two outs in the bottom of the ninth. We're going to get a pinch runner. It's actually Scott Kingery coming in the ballgame. He might have a chance to score The franchise record.
To tie the record.
Tie the record.
Scott Kingery gets a loud ovation as he pinch runs for Carson Taylor. Scott, a run away from tying Rich Thompson for most runs in franchise history. So here's Buddy Kennedy. Tying run at second. Kingery the winning run at first. The pitch. Fastball low. Ball one. Hayes the tying run at second. Leading away. The pitch. And Kennedy pops it up behind Tom. That's going to get up and over our heads. 1-1. Woo Sox hastily getting somebody loose in their bullpen. The 1-1 pitch. Kennedy takes on the outside black. 1-2. It's Jacob Webb in the Woo Sox bullpen if Adames can't end this himself. Pigs down their final strike again. 1-2 pitch. Slider up and in. Kennedy spins out of the way. Count levels at 2. Adames now 30 pitches here in the 9th. Tying run at 2nd, winning run at 1st. 4-3 Woo Sox in the 9th. The 2-2. Slider down and in. Ball 3.
Mind you, the first two batters in this inning were retired pretty easily by Jose Adames.
And since, it's been nothing but easy. Runners will get a head jump. 3-2 on Kennedy. Payoff pitch. And Buddy fouls it off. Fastball inside. Probably would have been ball 4. Runners go back to their bases. With the runners getting the head jump here, a ball in the gap probably wins it. Buddy had a walk-off winner July 3rd against Trenton, a walk-off homer. Ready. 3-2 again. Down and away, ball 4. Kennedy walks. It's the 3rd walk of the inning.
And who's coming to bat?
And it's Derek Hall in what could be his final game as an Iron Pig. And the Woo Sox are going to stick with Jose Adames. Derek Hall, the franchise record holder in homers and in RBIs. With the 2024 season down to its final outs, let's see whether or not Derek Hall can come through here for what would be just a seminal marquee moment unlike any other. Hayes the tying run at 3rd. Adames the windup. The pitch. Down and in. Ball 1. Hall jumping out of the way. Kingery the winning run at 2nd. 4-3. Woo Sox in the 9th. 1-0 pitch. Way outside. 2-0.
You got to wonder about this decision to keep Jose Adames in, especially going up against the lefty in Derek Hall. 2-0 count. If he wants to get a strike in here, I mean, Hall is dialed in.
2-0 pitch, and Hall fouls it away. The Woo Sox blew 3-run leads on Wednesday and Thursday. Iron Peak trying to end their season with a 3rd 3-run comeback this week and 2nd walk-off. Bases loaded for Hall. The 2-1 pitch. He takes inside 3-1. Woo. Adames has walked 3 in the inning. There's been an error and an RBI single. And now Adames on the verge of walking in the tying run. The 3-1 pitch. And Hall crushes it. Deep to right. Walk it off to 2025. Grand slam to win it. The Iron Pigs start the year with a walk-off grand slam, and they finish it with a walk-off grand slam. And who else? The franchise record holder and Derek Hall ends it. 7-4 the final.
baseball.
Scripted to a T. It had to be Derek Hall. Absolutely obliterated. Out to right, his 16th of the season. For Derek Hall, maybe his finest moment as an Iron Pig, his 76th as a pig, the most anybody has ever hit, and his last might be the most memorable.
That is just a phenomenal moment.
And we walk it off into 2025, 7-4, the Iron Pigs win it on Derek Hall's walk-off grand slam. And what a smile on his face.
I mean, just what a moment, man. You could not script it any better than this to have not only Derek Cole walk it off with the grand slam, but also have Scott Kingery on base, too, so he can tie the franchise record for runs scored. You have Derek Cole, the home run leader in franchise history for the Iron Pigs. You could not put a better script to end this season, where you start the season with a walk-off grand slam against the Woo Sox, technically, and then you end it with a walk-off grand slam against the Woo Sox. What an end to the season for the Pigs, and I know it's not going to be a winning season, but to have it end like this, and then also to not allow the Woo Sox to get to 80 wins for the first time in a season in their four-year existence, what a sweet end to the season for the Iron Pigs.
Unbelievably unreal from Derek Hall. 3-1 pitch, he was all over it. And he walks it off on the final game of the season. The Iron Pigs, down to their final strike on multiple occasions, find a way to win it somehow, some way. Their 8th walk-off win of the year, their 2nd this week against the Woo Sox, and their 3rd 3-run comeback of the week to win it.
That was just a formula of victory. You get down by 3 runs, even if it came, you know, very late in the ball game, and you would find yourself working your way back into this one. I mean, just all this stuff is just what makes baseball so great. And how could you not be romantic about this right now?
It was a 7-run ninth on opening night to walk it off. Rodolfo Castro won it here on the final day of the season. It's a 6-run ninth with Derek Hall ending it. And remember, back on opening night, the Pigs didn't commit an out in the ninth until the base running fiasco on the grand slam. In this ninth, they make it harder on themselves. First 2 outs, and then they get it going. The error by Bobby Dalbec keys the whole thing, and just an unbelievable way to end the season. Let's get you some quick totals before we sign off for the 2024 campaign. The final line score for the Iron Pigs, 7 runs, 6 hits, 1 error. They end up leaving 7 on base. The Woo Sox, 4 runs, 7 hits, 2 errors. They leave 4. The winning pitcher is Max Lazar. He's 4-3 in the season, gives up that run of the 9. That doesn't matter, as he gets the win, his 4th of the season. Jose Adames takes the loss for the Woo Sox. 2/3 an inning, 6 runs, all unearned, as it's the 2nd time this week the Iron Pigs walk it off in the 9th with a pitcher not allowing an earned run. Unbelievable. With the win, the Iron Pigs finish the season at 68-78 on the season. They go 34-39 in the second half, or rather 34-39 in the second half, and finish the season at home at 36-39. And they walk off into the 2025 season with 1 win and a series split with the Woo Sox. Worcester, they fall to 79-71, 44-31 in the second half. Now 37-38 on the road, and they split the series with the Iron Pigs. That'll just about do it for us here for the 2024 season. Connor, I don't know if you got anything to add before I wrap this thing up.
Well, I think Derek Hall just added everything you needed. Just that grand slam to end the season. What a phenomenal way to end it. And my first full year here, you know, working with the Pigs, I got a little spot duty last year. But I had a great time this year, and really, too, it's the fans that make it worth it. You see them showing in, game out. And it's also the players led by Anthony Contreras. And, you know, people can have a bit of a different view of professional athletes these days because of how much money they make and such. But when it comes to minor league baseball, you really get to see the more human side of things. And I really think that's an important thing to see if you want to work in sports, into kind of understanding like how these people you know, maneuver and how they interact with one another and who they really are. So that was my favorite part about this season, was really just getting to see people working their tails off to make a dream a reality. And it couldn't end any better than it did here today.
And I want to say a genuine heartfelt thank you from both you and from me to anybody who has made us a part of, be it your spring, your summer, and now your fall. If you tuned in on MILB TV, if you tuned in on Fox Sports Radio, no matter how you made us a part of it, we're thankful to be able to do these jobs and to be able to be a part of your lives, as Iron Peaks Baseball is the tie that bonds us all together. Our love of the Phillies as well, making it a phenomenal summer, and getting to do this day in and day out has been our utmost pleasure, and we genuinely cherish the responsibility that we get placed on us, and it's just been a phenomenal year. For however long you made us a part of your day, for every day that we brought you Iron Peaks Baseball, we're thankful that you were along for the ride for it. Connor, I got to thank you as well. It's our first year studio host. You did a great job. Always love having you along for the ride, especially here to close it out. Your good luck here in the booth. Couple of walk-offs.
I appreciate it, Sam. And you know, I have to thank you as well. You were really great to work with this year. You know, sometimes when you work in this world, you can work with some not so nice people and some demanding people. Like we were actually talking about this in the post game and kind of how we like to interact with one another, with other people. We have standards, but we also want to be welcoming. We want to be nice. And I can tell you, you're absolutely that. You're just a stand-up professional to work with. And I look forward to working with you next year.
Absolutely. I look forward to it, Connor. So with that, we'll sign off for the 2024 Iron Pig season, the final. The Iron Pigs walk it off on the Woo Sox one more time for good measure on a Derek Hall Grand Slam to win it, the final 7-4 Iron Pigs. Until March of 2025. He's been Connor Brown. I've been Sam Jelinek. A big thanks from us to you for tuning in, not just today, but for the entire 2024 season. Until next March, we'll talk to you then. This has been Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs Baseball here on the Iron Pigs Radio Network, presented by Ashley, the largest furniture store brand in North America.